If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The list is out. An eclectic group of both real and animated stars will be honored next year on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The ceremonies attract hordes of fans. The cost of creating and installing each sidewalk star is $25,000. And tonight, 25 famous names are on the list for the 2009 star recipients. Some of next year's recipients include actor Hugh Jackman, The Village People, fictional fairy Tinkerbell, film director Tim Burton, and Latin pop music star Shakira.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West, Adam West.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
I'm ignoring you because you make me sad.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You don't can understand.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No! No!
Roll another one.
That's what that is, man. I'm telling you.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
And how was it?
And I need another year.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Omar Khan facing 69 felony counts.
Just like the other one.
I'm not asking, I'm telling you.
This one seems to be about to end.
I want you off the set, you prick.
I don't have another cent.
You're unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
But don't bogart that joint.
No, no.
Just pass it around.
For sake, man, you're amateur. What don't you get about it?
And now...
How stoned are you two?
Baked out of our skulls. But you shouldn't do drugs.
You've convinced me.
Our feature presentation.
He keeps yelling. Why does he keep yelling at us?
Christian Bale, I don't know what kind of burr is under his saddle today, but he sure is.
That is the best tape we've had in a long time.
It really is.
No! No!
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, the 6th of February. Turns out it's...
Oh, my God, yeah, it's raining!
For once, you're not exaggerating.
Here's the thing. Okay, it's raining. Okay, good. Those of you that are on the road right now, I don't know why you people won't listen, but what you need to do is speed up.
Kevin.
Because you're on the road for a shorter amount of time. So
why do you scoff, Lisa? We've advised that for years, and it's never been proven to be less than good advice.
It hasn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Lisa just walked in, and I was like, hey, you're almost late. And she said, yeah, I was going 25 on the freeway. Like,
Kevin,
you're one of those
50 today, and he got here in 8 minutes. I mean, what's the downside there?
So I was going about 50 because it was pouring, mm-hmm. and you couldn't really see. And
right.
this little tiny sports car weaves around and speeds by, and I'm thinking, what an effing idiot.
You mean,
and
what a smart guy to take the advice of the Kevin
right.
Bean Show,
so
which is
I
to be out on the road for less time.
Around Lakersham, there's an overpass, and I don't know exactly what creates it, but there was this huge puddle of water that
right.
I hit,
right.
and it grabbed the wheel for a second. But since I was only doing 50, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening to the traffic reports, of course, and 5 minutes later, there's a solar car spin out right there at that location. And you know what it was? It was someone like that idiot that passed me hitting that puddle of water going 70 and spinning out. And that's what's going to happen all morning.
Have you thought of this? Perhaps it was a woman driver. No?
Well, I think that goes without saying. Hey, I got a question for you, Lisa.
It's not the women that are speeding on the freeways. What?
I got a question for you, Lisa. if you were, God forbid, you're in a Tropic Thunder-like war situation, and they're showering bullets at you. You are being shot at from all angles.
Could happen.
I don't need you here, Gene Simmons. I don't need you. So do you stroll across the field in
good point.
Open fire? Do you just walk as slowly as you can to make sure that every single person with a rifle has an opportunity to shoot? Or do you run like hell so that you're in the line of fire the shortest amount of time so that you don't get hit?
So let me get this straight.
Why don't people listen?
Water is like bullets?
I'm just asking you. What do you do?
You don't get it, man.
You draw your own
conclusions.
You don't get it, man. You're part of the problem, babe.
Here's what I love, though. I love the random breakers. Like you're driving, and it happened this morning with somebody. I was like, they hit their brakes pretty hard. They were in the lane next to me.
Yeah.
And I looked around and thought, what is it about that lane or this situation that made that person hit their brakes?
Yeah, that's not good.
I didn't
good
see
either.
There wasn't any water. There wasn't any reason. It was just like they have a twitch in their foot. They can't help it.
She has, you mean. She has. Well, this is why you listen to Kevin and Bean and not Sugar Hips when it comes to advice like this, all right?
That's right.
All righty.
That's right. You got to get off the road, and you're doing everybody else a big favor. So 130.
That's what you recommend.
That's what we recommend.
Just hydroplane all the way. Why
yes.
not?
Yes. Okay. Much easier on your tires as well.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take your phone calls on the rain or any other topic at 1-800-520-1067 with Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. The good thing is, by the way, there may be some extra Alita Loresca on the show today because of the weather. She's the weather chick on Channel 4 that we love. And there's a tiny little – how would you describe it? Yeah, Mike and I.
Yeah.
There's a tiny little peak of top boob today in the dress that she's wearing.
Yeah.
So the more time they give her today, the better for all of us.
It's a nice little ray of sunshine poking.
Yeah. An otherwise dreary day, sure.
Guys, you can find women who dress the way that would be sexy to you. You don't have to make up like
That's
inches of a view that you got on this woman.
Just check it out.
No.
See what we're talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you'll be pleased.
I'm saying no.
I think you'll understand where we're coming from.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
By the way, isn't Alita's top a boob? Aren't they playing one of the tents at Coachella on day 3? I think I heard
so,
it.
Yes.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. How about a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock at Bear Mountain on Valentine's Day? That is next Saturday. By the way, if you think Bear Mountain hasn't already been great this season, imagine what it's going to be like by next week.
Oh, yeah.
With all this snow that's coming down like crazy. So get on the air and please enjoy.
All right, let's begin with Josh in Chino. Good morning, Josh.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Josh.
What's going on?
Hey, well, I'm sitting at the 134 in the 405. And I've been doing 80 since Chino. I'm dead stopped because somebody couldn't control it in the rain.
Yeah, I heard about
that. Oh, my God, it's raining!
I heard about that when I went at the 405.
Yeah, I'm sitting here.
But Josh had complete control of his car. That's
right.
The thing.
100%. Sounds like somebody ahead of you wasn't following the advice. Somebody was probably just poking along and got rear-ended. And Gene Simmons, I don't need you here either.
That's what happened.
It's likely what happened. Somebody put up an obstacle.
Exactly.
Wow.
I agree with you guys 100%.
All right, Josh. Thank you. I think it's just good. I think you can recognize it as good wisdom. This is some good advice that you should be following.
Okay.
And by the way, maybe it's time to visit a plan where women only drive from like midnight to 3 a.m. or something like that. And then they're just off the road.
God, I would love a rundown of how many men and how many women are in accidents today.
That's a good question. But I also would like to throw in old people. Because I think old people
should not drive in this
weather. Men and women are hazardous in every situation.
Yeah, I agree.
Terrible drivers.
And for folks who don't listen that often, Kevin's definition of old, whether he's talking about actresses or drivers, is always 2 years older than whatever he is. And it keeps moving.
No, you could drive like an old person, even if you're, you know, our age. But don't, because that's bad.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm not. Lisa. Andrew in Moreno Valley. Good morning.
Morning. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
What's going on?
Here's an example of a guy driver, Lisa, and you're going to love this story.
All right.
Yesterday, you know how I was pouring really bad? Well, I was just driving, you know, me and my girlfriend driving down the street, and all of a sudden, there's this car that's like a little bit in front of us. The guy just starts spinning out like all crazy, like boom, there's like a complete like 360, but then like recovers, goes like straight back, and I was just like, I saw it and I was tripping out. I was like, oh my God, did that just happen?
So he did a full 360 and then got control of it and just kept going?
Yeah. The guy drives on a little bit more and then finally pulls over. But I was just like,
wow.
Oh, man.
I bet he pulled over because
he's a stunt driver.
He came out of his shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had to clean up the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He didn't hit us, you know what I mean?
He's shaking his head going, I can't believe I pulled that off. I'm so lucky.
All right, let's go to Rob in Glendora. He's got some good advice for the K-Rock audience. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Your billing theory about staying on the road less time also works when you're drunk getting out of the bar.
Go faster?
This is all.
Yeah, you go faster. The faster you get home, the less opportunity you give the cops to pull you over.
Now, I haven't worked this one through all the way, but on the surface, it looks pretty solid.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that.
You got to try it. You won't get caught. You're going really fast, so
all right.
Get home.
Okay.
Good advice.
And maybe drive blindfolded, too, because it's not as scary, because you can't really see what you're
doing.
Oh, that's
not bad. Let's go to George in Los Angeles. Good morning, George.
You know, nephew.
Sounds natural.
Calling about the lady with the 8 babies just now.
Yeah.
Yes. She did an interview.
She is crazy McYelly.
What? She was yelling?
Yeah,
what?
She's my old neighbor.
Really?
Oh. And she would yell. She has the 6 kids she does have, would yell the crap out of them.
Oh, man.
But she loves them all so much.
Like, bad news right there.
Oh, boy.
Really? I saw just the clip. They have an interview with her. It's her first interview. It's on the Today Show this morning. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah,
and she said, I know that there are people watching who are thinking, there's no way you'll be able to support 14 children, but they don't know me and how determined I am.
What? They don't know you and how we are going to support your kids.
But wasn't she taking money from the state for...
Well, she also got paid $165,000 for the interview.
So that's how determined she is,
I guess. For a year.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I don't care how rich you are. 14 kids is a burden.
You can't do it.
No.
Yeah.
No, she's bad.
Let me ask you this, though, George. So she was your neighbor. You heard her yelling at the kids. Did you know her at all? Did you ever talk to her?
I tried to. Like, she'd walk around the block, and I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go check out, like, new neighbor. Because we just moved in. I'm like, right. Nope. Face down, just cruise on by.
Really?
Like, okay, then. Happy lady. We'll see you.
She looked not unattractive in the clip I saw this morning. How did she look in person?
All I heard was crazy McYelly. Never
crazy McYelly. Okay, so you couldn't even see anything else beyond that. I got you.
No.
All right. So she was ugly on the inside.
Yes.
I got you. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
You're lucky you didn't impregnate her by accident, dude.
I know we're running a little late. Let's squeeze in one more because it's a good topic. Joseph in Santa Fe Springs. Good morning.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby? What it do, baby boo?
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, you're bringing a great topic to life, I got to tell you, Joseph. You're a dynamic and exciting.
Calling in about the Lakers, baby.
Calling
in about those Lakers.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
How about Boston missing a free throw to send it into overtime? How about that stroke of fortune?
Hey, you know what? We grinded it out. Didn't have Andrew Bynum.
Yep.
Kobe came up with the clutch threes at the end.
Yep.
Yep. That was pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. It's always sweet to beat the champs, especially when they're champs because they beat you.
That's right. MVP, the championship's coming through L.A. this year, baby.
All right. Like to hear that. Not according to Clipper Darrell, by the way. That's not happening. The Laker era is over.
Yeah. That's what I understand.
According to him.
All right. We got to get our buddy Powell back on the show to find out who lit a fire under his ass this week, by the way.
Listen, I couldn't be more excited that someone did.
He's been unbelievable. Yeah, he's been great. Good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we? It's Friday. We got the movie beat. We are going to talk to Kristen Bell.
Oh.
She's in Fanboys, which opens today.
Yes.
We're going to talk to the host of 1,000 Ways to Die, because Bean loves human death.
Yep.
I do enjoy death. That's true.
New Internet Roundup, Freaking Out Edition.
I can't wait for that.
Psycho Mike was at the Grammy Roundtable yesterday, which means he got a ton of different music stars and TV stars sometimes, and weird people that you don't even know who they are sometimes. Who did you interview that we are going to play today?
The guys at TurboTax?
Yes.
Why
Thank
are they
God.
There?
So look forward to that. Also, we're going to talk to U.S. Representative Bill Pascrell.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
the dude in New Jersey, I believe, who is calling an investigation into Ticketmaster.
He's our god, is what he is.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him just after 6, about a half hour from now. So anybody that's been frustrated with Ticketmaster.
That would be everyone.
This is for you, yeah.
Yeah.
And K-Rock's World Tour 2009, destination number 2, grand prize. talking about killers in Barcelona.
Barcelona!
Grand prize
Barcelona!
Drawing. Grand prize drawing is coming up, and Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
I don't belong here. I don't belong here.
Hey!
Oh, God. Wow, good morning.
I just
you
do that
Ralph
now.
Jump.
I just do that now because I like seeing Lisa and Ralph jump.
Sorry. The man who's going to bring down Ticketmaster, he's got our support. I'll move to New Jersey to vote for this guy if this is his issue. I'll tell you that. We'll talk to him coming up.
I don't know how much time you've spent in New Jersey. Don't get nuts.
Might not be worth it.
Yeah, there's some causes and then there's some causes.
We'll talk to an actual U.S. congressman coming up after 6 o'clock this morning. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for a Friday. What's going on?
Apparently, Ticketmaster is scared of our representative friend from New Jersey.
Fantastic. Really?
The company's CEO, Irving Azoff, yesterday apologized to Bruce Springsteen and all his fans for what Ticketmaster did to them the other day.
Was it just an accident?
Well, here's Lisa. Here's the best explanation you've ever heard for anything evil. CEO Irving Azoff says Ticketmaster was only trying to provide access to premium seats to its clients.
That is really
they were just
good
thinking
of
you, people.
That's good of them.
Uh-huh.
They were trying to provide access for those who could not buy seats at the regular place. They wanted to give them access to premium seats so they could choose to buy those tickets if they wanted to.
Look, I none of us have any problem with a secondary market. Well, some people do. Some people don't think any ticket should be allowed to be resold. But what appears to be going on here is that instead of going on sale at the regular price, they're going on sale at the premium price.
Au contraire, mon frère. Irving also says Ticketmaster did not supply tickets now with any seats.
What? How did they do that turnaround so fast?
Just people buying them, Lisa. That's all.
Not possible. Really?
What?
Regular people buying them and then putting them up on tickets now.
Mm-hmm. Springsteen at the Sports Arena had hundreds of tickets available. 5 minutes after the thing went up on sale, there were hundreds of tickets now, tickets available.
Fast individuals.
Very fast.
That's all. Yeah. He said, from now on, Ticketmaster will no longer link fans buying seats for any shows to tickets now.
Fantastic.
Without the permission of the artist and the venue.
Oh.
So it has to be a case-by-case basis. If Bruce Springsteen says, I don't want you to hook me up to tickets now, because I remember one time I was online, they won't do it. But if no one says anything, they're going to keep doing it.
That's the first response to this kind of complaint I've seen in history, maybe?
It is the first movement on their part in terms of trying to not be dicks.
Hey,
I think
folks
they're afraid.
Know.
I think they're really afraid of this representative and this federal investigation. I think that scares the crap out of them.
I hope so.
Yeah, they don't care what the public thinks. They don't care how pissed we are because they're a monopoly and we have to buy them if we want to go to shows. But they do care when the government starts sniffing around, especially when they want to do this Live Nation merger coming up.
Yep.
Well, if that's their stance, I think there's still work to be done.
I think so, too.
I think so, too.
I think Marshall Crenshaw, whoever this guy is from New Jersey, what's his name?
Bill Pascrell.
Pascrell, that's it. He should keep pressing on.
Absolutely.
Bruce, what are you going to do? Well, I know that helps.
Really?
But...
Really? Did you pull something there, reaching for that? That's going to hurt in the morning. Angie Everhart, I mentioned to you, the very beautiful and talented actress and model, is having a baby. She's having it on her own.
Right.
She said the father of the child is a secret because they aren't a couple.
Okay.
But apparently now we know why she's having the baby. Word is that she's shopping a reality show to networks that will chronicle her journey. And this is her quote, being a single, strong, healthy, good-spirited woman having a baby on her own.
Well, that's not why she got pregnant.
Lisa, do you go right from pregnancy to shopping around your reality show if that's not in your mind?
I can't imagine someone getting pregnant specifically so they could have a reality show.
It seems to be pretty close together.
Angie Everhart? She's not some, you know, oh, look at me, I've never been famous person.
It seems like with the Ticketmaster explanation, it happens pretty quickly.
But she's had weeks to think about it since she found out she was pregnant, probably.
And they probably approached
her.
Is
there nothing to anyone else creepy about getting pregnant and saying, how can I turn this baby into my financial and career advantage?
Oh, I think it is creepy, but I agree with Lisa. I don't think that's why she got pregnant, is to make a show. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm just glad we're done with those days where people are having babies because they want to make them good people and they want to have a child. I'm glad there's another angle to it.
That's just not good.
Having a baby just isn't enough on its own. You got to find another angle to make it worthwhile.
That's right. What's
glad,
the point?
I'm glad Angie has come up with one.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
It's one thing. Look, if you're, I think Denise Richards is the bottom of the barrel when it comes to reality television.
Right.
Yeah.
She's whoring herself out there. She's creating fictional situations for the cameras to follow her around. And she's also pimping out her kids who happen to live with her, right? But right. if you start pimping out your unborn fetus, come on! How about some indignation, people?
Yeah.
I'm out. Got nothing left.
Lisa thinks everything's okay now. Yeah, everyone whatever. Can do anything. More baby news. Apparently, Charlie Sheen says he is so excited about the birth of his twin boys. He's going to have boys. According to In Touch magazine, Charlie says that he's already bought them Tiffany Sterling Silver baby rattles, cashmere blankets, and ton of stuffed animals. The only thing the babies don't have, apparently, is a father who gives a crap.
And diapers.
And diapers.
That's right. You can buy your kids love with expensive name brand products.
I think Tiffany is selling quality parenting these days.
A lot easier to go shopping, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm very angry today. I got a lot of angry stories in the showbiz. One of the...
Wow.
Foaming at the mouth about this one. Sanjaya. Remember him?
Yes.
Yeah.
American Idol.
Yeah, he's back. Sanjaya's back.
Crazy wavy hair guy.
Yeah, he had crazy hair. Every week he had a different hairstyle. That would be the focus of his performance is how he's going to wear his hair. Made all the girls cry. All the little girls cried in the audience.
Yeah.
He's just written a book about his life called Dancing to the Music in My Head.
What happened to him after American Idol? Anything?
No!
Well, then what's he writing about?
He says he still plans to make it in the music business.
When he does, then he can write a book, okay? But you can't write a book when you're a failure. I know how to be a failure on my own.
Did he make it far enough in the competition to go on that tour that they do of like
Idol? Yeah, he was top 10.
Top 12, I think it is, it goes on tour. I think he did.
He did.
I think I agree with Ralph, though. That's not enough for a book.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone who's ever been in the top 12 American Idol write their own biography then? Because it's fascinating reading, I'm sure. Went to Des Moines, performed. went to Cincinnati, performed.
I was good. Yes, Pete.
Okay.
All right, then.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Oh, I got so much good stuff to talk about in no time. Come back in an hour. I'll talk about Sean Stewart. Remember him from Celebrity Rehab?
Oh,
right. Yes. Mike, give me a little Sean Stewart, will you?
You touched me again, I call the cops, Holmes.
He was the worst.
What a wuss. Got some great cable television news, some more Grammy news, so a bunch of stuff in an hour. Come back. I'll give you some fresh
Now, they can
stories.
Stay, though. They don't have to punch out now and then come back right before you come on the air. Right, Ralph?
They can. I wouldn't recommend it. I've heard the show, but they can do whatever they want to do.
Dude, take it down. Ticketmaster next.
Might stick around for that.
Oh, yeah.
But before I do say goodbye, I want to talk to Kevin for a second.
What?
Did you hear about your man in Florida?
No.
Florida?
Your guy?
No. My guy?
I couldn't help but think of you as I read this. There was a guy in a grocery store parking lot in Cape Coral, Florida, who, in plain view of lots of mothers and children, was having a three-way with two inflatable sex dolls.
Florida?
The 51-year-old George Bartusik was molesting the dolls, making out with them, kissing them, and making hand gestures to anyone who would watch as they walked by.
Inside his car in the parking lot?
Yep.
Oh, that guy rules.
Store asked him to stop. He wouldn't. The cops had to be called to break up the three-way. He said he was simply there to try to get some clothes for his girlfriends at the nearby Target. He was buying clothes for his inflatable lovers.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Police took him in and confiscated his shorts, which had a 3-inch opening in the crotch that he was wearing while inside the car. So.
Kevin's people.
Just thought of Kevin. Just thought of Kevin when I read that story.
Pulling down shorts, not an option. You got to pre-cut a hole.
That's right. In case in a moment's notice, you're in the breeze because you never know. Look. When those inflatable girls get their groove on, there's no stopping them, you know?
They like to party.
You are at the whim of their spontaneity, because you know they'll just take over. You imagine wrestling with two blow-up dolls in the front seat of your car? How less sexy than anything
is that?
That
is the best. And of course it happened in Florida.
Of course. If you don't think you're getting an inflatable doll for your birthday next month, then you're not paying attention.
He's getting two. Three. Yep. What the hell? You're a man of the world, Kevin.
I'll
be
able to satisfy them all,
too. That's right.
That's what I know about it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Rick Astley is 43 years old today. We're going to... Got Rick rolled.
We did. That just happened.
Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 47 years old today. I wonder how Axl's going to celebrate his birthday today. Bet he's going to do it to the tune of Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah. Bet he will.
Actor-director Robert Townsend. Remember when he was popular?
Sure.
He's 52 years old today. And NBC News anchorman, one of Kevin's favorites, Tom Brokaw.
Dude talks worse than I do.
Tom Brokaw celebrates his 65th birthday today. So... Happy birthday, Tom Brokaw. And a hug of hand and a lot of friends and family over there. That's a cake.
That is so accurate.
It's getting worse as he gets older.
Yep.
I was watching their coverage of the election. I still don't know who won.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We don't have a lot of congressional heroes. I got to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not big fans of Congress.
Yeah.
However.
I'd have voted for Bill if I could have, but I don't live in New Jersey.
U.S. Representative Bill Pascrell, good morning.
Good morning.
Why are you the best human being on earth?
You are our hero, Bill. Tell our listeners who maybe haven't been paying attention to us this week as we've talked about what the work is that you've got going on out there in New Jersey, what it is you're up to.
Well, we're trying to lasso a ticket company, Ticketmaster, that's kind of got a monopoly in selling of tickets, and then went one step further as one of its subsidiaries. Ripping off folks for three, four, five times the face value of tickets, particularly to Bruce Springsteen. You know, we think very highly of Bruce, not only in New Jersey, but, of course, around the country. And you're using his venue to get off on us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It got me angry.
We have concerts here in Southern California twice a year. And at our last one, which was at Christmas, the exact same thing happened. The people would sign on to Ticketmaster, and then they would find themselves on tickets now, and they'd be buying tickets, but the price was three, four, five, six times as much. And they were like, wait, what just happened?
And it was a show that had just gone on sale 5 minutes before. This was our radio station show, Congressman, and it was suddenly sold out, yet legal scalping was going on in front of their eyes. And you know, you talk about how angry you were when you heard about what happened in your state. I mean, let's multiply that by, you know, millions of people across the country. It's happening with every big show now.
We've gotten over 1,000 phone calls and emails about this from all over the country, not just New Jersey. But this has been going on. There's 48 states where it's very easy under the law to have legalized scamming.
Yeah.
To have legalized rip-offs.
The secondary market.
Scalping.
The secondary market, I think everybody kind of realizes is going to be there, but you don't really want it done by the same company that's selling you the tickets. That seems...
And done within seconds.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Thank God.
There's a new owner of Ticketmaster. His name is Irving Azoff. I talked to him late yesterday afternoon. He assures me that they're going to clean up their act, that he inherited a mess, and I assured him that I'm not getting off what I'm saying. I'm going to continue to pursue it.
Good.
With the Justice Department in New Jersey and with the Attorney General's office in Washington, D.C., I also yesterday asked the Judiciary Committee to begin to look into these things. Look, the economy is bad enough. People want a new little entertainment. They're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
Can't go to a sporting event, as you well know. You can't take your family there unless you want to take their bank account there.
Yeah.
I mean, these people have been able to get off on us over and over and over again.
Here's the difference
between... Not only the government that's stupid. It's these people that have gotten away with it year after year after year. And I think it's time for us to say enough already.
Here's the question that I have, though, is it seems like there are very few black and white issues in the world today. Everything's got shades of gray, and it's difficult to know who's in the right, who's in the wrong. This seems like it's been blatantly in our faces wrong for a long time, and no one cares until you stepped up, thank God.
Because too many people do get the tickets. They'll pay anything they can, except the economy is tight right now, so maybe a few more people will speak up.
But let me ask.
That's the case, and then that's what you guys are all about. That's what I'm all about.
What about the fact that Ticketmaster is pretty much the only game in town?
Worse yet.
Yeah. I mean, is that legal?
You're going to buy out another outfit pretty soon,
And I want antitrust laws to be looked at very carefully.
Absolutely.
Before anybody signs off on this. They want the entire package.
Yep. U.S. Representative Bill Pascrell is on the phone with us from New Jersey. We've been talking about this a long time because it looked like Live Nation, that company, was going to be a good competitor for Ticketmaster, which it seems like if they had any competitors that worked, they would have to stop doing this BS.
And overcharging with these ridiculous service charges.
So we're like, yes, Live Nation, yes, it's going to be great. Live Nation's going to come in, they're going to battle, they're going to make Ticketmaster play a better game.
Yeah.
Now Ticketmaster wants to merge with Live Nation. We want to buy them or merge with them so that they're still the only game in town, and that just seems terrible.
Right. I mean, we've had a couple of instances where Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus situation, and kids are getting their parents to make them feel guilty. So regardless, pay whatever you can to get to the tickets. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And there may be some gray shades here, but it seems to me it's very clear that we got to stop. I mean, this is highway robbery, and they're getting away with it.
Yep.
They're getting away with it.
Representative, let me ask you this question about your conversation with Mr. Azov yesterday, and I don't know if you got into this much detail with this Tickets Now situation, but the thing that confuses our listeners so much when they try to buy tickets, and Bruce Springsteen is a great example because he just went up for sale for an upcoming show at the LA Sports Arena here this week, is that within a couple of minutes, there are hundreds of tickets available. Ticketmaster, it seems like, is trying to intimate to us that those are just fans who have decided to resell their tickets. But what it looks like on this end of the computer is that those tickets are held back and are never offered for sale at face value, and Tickets Now gets a certain percentage of them to sell at the inflated price. Is that something you talked about with Mr. Azov?
Absolutely. And he says that he's going to cut all links to any secondary subsidiary. That's what he says he's going to do.
So and Tickets Now is...
He wants me to think that he is the new sheriff in town. I want him to know, beyond thinking, that I'm not getting off what I'm doing. I'm going to continue to pursue. I've written letters to the appropriate agencies. We're going to continue to have conversation. Now, he's going to reimburse many of those people. That doesn't make it okay.
I agree.
Change my mind about anything. I'm glad that he's going to try to do that, but obviously that's going to be it's not going to be a seamless process for sure.
Right.
There are thousands and thousands of people out there.
I know that you guys are very, very busy with the weight of the world on your shoulders with all the issues that are going on in America, but we are so grateful that this is something that got on your radar, because it certainly has been a frustration for music fans for a long time, and we will definitely be continuing to follow this story in the news and wish you well. I hope it works out.
I'm going to continue, Kevin and Bean. I'm going to continue, and nobody's going to – these populist issues – are important to people. They don't think anybody cares.
Yeah.
They think that we're all caught up in these esoteric issues. They think they're important, and no question about it. I don't want to minimize, the stimulus package and the economy. But these are the day-to-day issues that gnaw at us.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can make a list. We can have our own priorities. I can assure you, though, I'm not going to get off this.
Is there a way that listeners in the Southern California area can support you? Do they go to a website? I'm guaranteeing you probably a million people.
To get on board.
Tell their congressman. Okay.
To speak up. And remember, I mean, people are Springsteen fans. He didn't write just about anything. He sings about the working guy, born to run, working a dream, hungry heart. My favorite 30 years ago, The Promised Land. Remember that?
Of course. Yeah.
Like chasing some mirage. Pretty soon, little girl, I'm going to take charge.
All right. Representative the 8th district of the great state of New Jersey, U.S. Representative Bill Pascrell. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. We enjoyed talking to you.
Have a great day and have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Bye now.
First, though, I understand, Kevin, it's time for an update from one of our favorites.
Mr. Cheney, good morning.
So.
it's rare on this program that we do an hour of politics, but we just had a congressman on in the last break, and now here we are talking to the former vice president of the United States. You've been out of office about 2 weeks or so, sir. Sir, how's it going so far?
It's not good.
Not good.
It's, no.
You missed the job, do you?
Nope.
You missed the negativity that gripped our nation?
I miss the right-thinking people being in office.
Ah. Oh, I see.
I feel sad for this country. what they're going through and what they're going to go through with this so-called president.
He's not the so-called president. He is the president.
President he was elected, of the United States.
He's as much the president as George W. Bush was, and you were.
Are you putting really? United States in quote also, Mr. Vice President?
Yes.
Wow.
And well, I think we're in big trouble.
I understand that you do have some differences with Mr. Obama, but I mean, so far, what kind of marks do you give him? I mean, have there been colossal screw-ups besides the fact that he doesn't know anyone who pays their taxes?
Yeah, he's trying to get a lot of tax cheats in the office. That can't be good.
Right, that was your guys' thing, right?
Hey, what the? Why you, know? You Ayotta? Right? Don't make me come over there.
Now, Mr. Cheney, you left office with a historically low approval rating of 13%.
So?
Pretty much 9 in 10 people hated you.
9 in 10?
Yeah, and you had, pretty much. And you had, you know.
Where's that 10th guy?
But hang out with him. You trying to earn him?
That's right.
You had 8 years, you know, to sell your views. Seems like you may have failed with that.
I don't think so at
Maybe
all.
Maybe let
I
it
think,
go.
I think I sold a lot of things in those 8 years.
Yeah?
A lot of construction equipment and stuff to contracts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Construction deals.
Mm-hmm. Took care of the Halliburton people, yeah.
I'm good.
Well, I mean,
I'm operating out of the surplus.
Yeah, I imagine you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people just thought it was time to try something else. They weren't necessarily happy with the way the economy has been going and other things. I mean, has President Obama done a bad job, in your opinion, so far?
Mark my words, my friends. When we look back on the Bush-Cheney administration, those mm-hmm. will be considered the good old days. Now that terrifying. This is going to be going
That's
on.
That's pretty hard to believe.
Because now that the so-called President Obama has closed Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, yeah, you don't like that, right?
I think we're destined for a terror attack now.
Well, God, God forbid. I hope that doesn't happen.
I hope so, too. But come on, let's face it. It's inevitable.
That's not inevitable.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it inevitable? Yeah. Really? Wow.
That's what we can do now. Now I close Guantanamo.
Would you be happy if it happened, Mr. Vice President?
Of course not. I wouldn't be happy. Well, it depends. Depends on where it is, I guess.
Yeah.
I could,
where would it be acceptable, in your opinion?
In New York, Los Angeles, any place where the liberals live.
Wow.
Okay, just as long as the smart mobs kill the liberals.
Just leave Florida alone. I love Florida.
I bet you do. They've been good to you.
But, so we're going to have terror attacks, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
As you can tell, God is crying there in Los Angeles, where you are. There's torrential downpour rains. Nice work, Obama. Nice
it's
work.
It's just rain.
Nice
it doesn't have anything to do with the president. It's just rain. It happens from time to time in the winter.
On the freeways and those accidents, my friend.
It's not the president's fault. It's raining.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. Just let him off the hook. I see how your liberal bias is.
Wow.
Your liberal media. I'm guessing we'll probably have locusts soon.
Locusts? My guess. What are you talking about?
Locusts will descend upon the crops.
Because?
Would it?
Soon, children will be born with flippers, but I'm guessing. Old women will start to cry blood.
Really?
What?
Yeah. The sun will be blotted out. We will all turn to ash cloth.
I gotta tell you,
I don't think that's happening.
In the last 2 weeks, I have really missed your negative attitude. I really, it's so good to get it back some more.
Soon sea lions will turn and start eating killer whales.
Well, why will that happen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nature's going to just turn on its ass. It's going to be madness.
Okay. We're going to make note of these predictions and see how many come true, Mr. Vice President.
The women will become barren.
What?
Barons will become women. It's going to be a nightmare. And you're going to say, bad. Oh, where's Dick? Oh, I sure could use some Dick right now, what you're going to say.
I can guarantee that's not going to be said.
I had Dick.
I can guarantee that'll never be said.
I won't be there.
Yeah.
And you're going to be screwed.
Lisa might say that. If she does, come on over.
You're going to be pounding on my coffin, begging me to get up. I'm going to say, nope, I am napping. Go to your so-called President Obama.
Okay.
If it's still called the United States by then,
not the
Soviet Republic of America.
Oh, dear God.
I don't think there's much danger of that.
What are you talking about?
Well, enjoy being a Muslim communist. Not me. Well, I won't be around.
There's no Muslim communist. That doesn't happen.
All right. Enjoy being a Muslim socialist.
Okay. All right, Mr. Cheney.
I'm out.
It's been great catching up with
I'm
you.
I'm gone.
Okay.
Screw you. All right. Dick, 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 Dick Cheney,
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick. Psycho Mike was at the Grammy Roundtable yesterday, which is basically a media day for a bunch of people that are either in the Grammys or kind of tangentially, you know, related to the Grammys.
Or just trying to promote something.
Or just trying to promote something, yeah. And we got a bunch of interviews coming up just after 7 o'clock, but we have a second here before Liam Neeson. So tell us who this is.
This is the one and only Kathy Griffin.
Oh.
Not familiar with her.
She does. Is a place like this
yes.
part business? You're here to do interviews, but
you're in very good shape. Are you working out a lot?
Yeah, I try to stay in the gym.
You're in better shape than Ralph or Kevin or Bean, and nothing against them because I love those guys. But do they know?
You know what? Ralph's actually in pretty good shape.
Is
so he? Does
Ralph told me that on his honeymoon, I always remember this, he was going to go to Hawaii with his wife, and he wanted to drink, blank, and sleep. And I think you know what the blank was. And I thought it was so romantic, the way he put it.
Well, Ralph's good at all three, from what I gather.
Wow. Yeah. You guys are a close-knit group.
You've so far surpassed kind of that image that you cut out for yourself when you started the D-list.
And clearly, I've surpassed your own expectations, because I feel like that's where you were going to go with that sentence.
No.
He was going to say, you've surpassed my expectations.
No. No, but I think
I don't know what you do on the show. Status. What does he do?
Huh? He stands in the back.
I stand in the back and
what do you
funny
do?
Noises. Dave's a producer. I'm really fun.
What happened to Lightning? He got canned?
No, he does he our moved video on. Now.
Oh, thank God. I thought he got canned.
No.
Not yet.
Is a place like this, is it part you doing interviews and doing your business, but is it also a chance to do research?
Yeah, thank you. I have shows coming up. I need material.
The Kardashian sisters are here.
What do you talk to the Kardashians about? Hello, let's start that conversation.
I'm just saying.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Kim is too big to be here?
Looks like it.
Yep. Too famous.
Yeah.
And I'm here with two Emmys.
Yeah.
And a Grammy, and a Grammy nomination. And Kim Kardashian, what is she doing today?
Reggie Bush.
Then I'm going to make a pledge right now that I am going to have sex with Reggie Bush. I'm going to tape it and screw Kim Kardashian. Yeah, that's right. You heard it here.
Wow.
All right.
That's an exclusive. Well done.
Yes.
How happy was Mike, by the way, to be in a conversation where they were talking about how buff he is?
That yeah, you
the bulk of that conversation is, oh, I'm in such good shape.
As soon as I heard that, I thought, I bet Mike set her up. I bet he said, can you start by saying how in shape I am?
You guys are so smart.
She always brings it, though. Very, very funny. So we'll have more of those interviews coming up just after 7 o'clock. Grand prize during the 7 o'clock hour. Kristen Bell, who, by the way, I'm very surprised is joining us on the program today.
Why?
Well, you think, you know, she'd be laying a little bit low after that meltdown on the Terminator set. I mean, why on earth would she be doing interviews now?
That was Christian Bale. That's not the same person.
It's Kristen Bell we're talking to.
Yes.
Yeah. All
really?
Right, that's
really?
Different.
Very different, Bean. Wow, you seem confused.
Because their names are similar, Kevin. Come on.
I don't understand what you're referencing.
All right, what's our update with the great Mr. Neeson?
He is walking around and somebody is trying to hand him the phone.
And he
has no interest in talking to us?
Apparently so far he's got his hands by his, you know, by his legs. He's just limp and he won't touch it. Nope. Can't make me talk. Can't make me talk.
If you can force me to talk to him, I guess I'll talk to him. I don't want to screw with Liam Neeson because we've seen what he does to people who screw with him.
He
finds you, he comes after you, and he kills you. So let's all be on our very best behavior. America's number one movie in theaters now is called Taken. Last week we got to talk to the beautiful Maggie Grace, who also is in the film, and the actor playing her father in the movie joins us on the phone right now. Liam Neeson, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Kevin. Hi, Bean. I'm very well.
Great to talk to you.
Very cold New York.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always very cold New York, isn't it?
Well, it's been fluctuating a lot, but today's very much brass monkey weather.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Hey, congratulations. I mean, you've been in this business a long time. I don't know if it still, you know, gets you excited, but having a big number one movie, you know, could do worse, right?
Terrific. Absolutely terrific. Yep. I am very excited. I'm very proud of the film, and it's great when people go and see your work, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any concept when you're making a movie, when you're promoting a movie, you know, of how it's going to be responded to, or is it always surprising, whether it's too low, too high, whatever? It just wasn't expected.
It's always surprising. I, you know, all the great executives and producers in the world, no one can quite put their finger on it. Audiences decide. And that's what I love about it. I love the fact that it's 9 times out of 10, it's unpredictable.
But sometimes I would imagine it would be kind of a bummer because you go, wow, I thought that was really good. Didn't seem to resonate.
People.
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes that happens. And the audiences stay away in droves.
Yeah. You've had such a varied career, Liam. I mean, you know, everything from, you know, Star Wars to Batman to Schindler's List to Michael Collins to, you know, romantic comedies, Love Actually, Gangs in New York. You've done so many different kinds of movies. But I still think, even knowing how versatile you are as an actor, there were a lot of people who were surprised to see you in this film in what looks like an actual, you know, kick-ass action movie.
I guess. Yes. But I don't like to be pigeonholed, you know?
Yeah.
It's I like to keep sort of pushing up the edge of the envelope and being as unpredictable as possible within a certain range, of course. But mm-hmm. I just found this script unputdownable when I was sent it. It was a real page-turner, and I loved the fact that the hero is in his late 40s. He's not some 25-year-old kid.
Right.
And, you know, get a chance to do some badass stuff and be tired, also be exhausted from the efforts.
Right.
There's no acting required
for that.
Yeah. When you're playing tired, you're really tired. So you're doing hand-to-hand combat. I mean, this is fight scenes, and it's all you.
Quite a bit, yes. That was one of the conditions I took the part with Luc Besson, the producer and co-writer, and Pierre Morel, the director. We all sat down and we all agreed that I would do my fights as much as possible, which I'm very proud of. And my great stunt double, Mark Vanslow, he did all the extremely dangerous stuff, jumping off buildings and jumping onto boats and stuff like that, you know.
Now, we have a clip of, we're trying to bring back the movie clips on radio. We think that's a good choice.
Yeah, good for you.
And this is a security expert that's talking to you about the party that your daughter is having in Paris.
Hey, are you on speaker? Are you by yourself?
Lenore's here.
Hey, Lenny.
Hello, Sam.
She needs to hear it, Sam.
The specialty of the groups coming out of this area is trafficking in women.
Keep going.
Okay. Their previous MO was to offer women from the emerging East European countries like Yugoslavia, Romania, Bulgaria, jobs in the West as maids and nannies. Once they'd smuggled them in, they'd addict them to drugs and turn them into prostitutes.
Wow.
That is not a comedy, I'll tell you that.
I guess that's it in a nutshell.
No, it isn't.
That sums it up.
I've got 4 days to find her.
Liam Neeson is a badass. We're talking about his film that is in theaters everywhere called Taken. Hey, if you don't mind, I have to ask because I keep reading that you're going to be playing Abe Lincoln in the story of our 16th president, directed by Steven Spielberg. Have you started work on that one yet, Mr. Neeson?
No, it's in the works. Let's put it that way. It's in the works. I don't know when they're going to get around to it, but we'll get to it eventually.
That has to be one of the more daunting assignments that you've taken on, to play a guy who's, you know, so much is known of.
Tell me about it. Every time I think about it, my stomach churns.
Oh, good. So we're making you feel bad. That's good.
That's not the intention at all.
Liam, we had Maggie Grace on last week, like we said, and plays your daughter. I'd like to play a clip from my partner, Bean, who was talking to her, and he was asking her what it was like to work with you.
So you meet a guy like that, you know, as an actor, and then you're hoping that he's nice. What did it turn out being like to work with him so much?
Could that have been asked better, do you think? Liam?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Yeah. Could that have been asked better?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you didn't hear it. Oh, it's too bad. It's too bad you couldn't hear it. That's spectacular.
Well, thank you. You saved me the embarrassment, Kevin. I appreciate that very much. The film is in theaters now. It is called Taken, and Kevin has already seen it and given it the big thumbs up, and obviously audiences have responded. So go check it out this weekend. Liam Neeson, great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sorry, guys. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Lots of big stars and names you've never heard of. Psycho Mike interviewing at the Grammy Roundtable coming up after 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat for a Friday. How are you, Ralph?
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait.
For the interview with Nadia Suleiman.
It's going to be a good one.
I don't know who that
is. Nadia Suleiman is the woman who has 14 kids.
Oh,
the octuplets
fraud. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
She's bad.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's being interviewed by Ann Curry on Today this morning. It's just going to be a small portion of an interview, where the complete interview will air on Monday, apparently. And Dateline will also air a portion of it on Tuesday. NBC's getting their money's worth out of this one.
No kidding.
Lisa said they paid her $165,000. Is that the figure?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Wow.
So, so a little taste today on Today's show, and then more on Monday, and then Tuesday night on Dateline. You can see the woman who interviewed her interview with Ann Curry from the Today Show apparently says that she had a dysfunctional childhood.
Really?
So at least she's passing the torch, which I think is nice. She had an effed up childhood, so now she's going to half-ass raise 14 kids so they can pass it on to their kids and so on and so on and so on. At what point do you nip it in the bud?
Well, you certainly would think you wouldn't try to bite off more than you could chew. 14 kids these days? Come on.
Alone?
Come on.
Even not alone.
Even
that's
with
insane.
A partner.
That's
crazy.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be chewing on kids either, by the way.
Well, that's not.
You're not much of a father, Kevin, if that. You're recommending that specific. To people. Biting off kids.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Exactly.
Michael Phelps, he's in a world of hurt.
I feel bad for him.
Why?
He's just doing what people do.
Yeah, but you know what? Those people don't have multi-million dollar contracts with corporations where you are the face of their product.
Well, he's still young.
Blah, blah, blah. This is the biggest non-story
ever. And we talked
ever.
About this. What? That's the point.
This is the biggest non-story ever.
How is this
ever?
A non-story?
Because it was a private party and he had a bong hit. Big woo.
I wouldn't go so far as to say big such woo. Thing as a private party anymore in the
well,
world.
That
there just
is true.
Isn't.
That's true.
And if you're going to market yourself as the squeaky, clean, all-American face of the Olympics, and you're going to make an ass full of money off of it, then you have a certain amount of responsibility to yourself and the people around you to conduct yourself.
I'm really so baked.
What? Am I off
no,
base with this? Shouldn't he
protect
that?
Don't you think it's really
that?
Not a big deal?
It isn't a big deal to us because of who we are. But the fact is, it's against the law.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's dumb.
And he had a DUI 4 years ago. You know, so it's not like he couldn't have learned his lesson by this point to maybe keep his nose clean.
Look, it's not like I'm crying for him. He has a crap load of money. He'll be fine.
Well, not as much as he used to. That's the reason I bring this up, a little advertising story. Kellogg's has said they are dropping Michael Phelps as a spokesperson for their Crunchy Wheats, or whatever the hell he was on, the box.
If people would hit the bong, they would want more Kellogg's.
Good point.
Yeah,
you know?
He's starving.
Nothing better than a bowl of cereal
right.
after a nice rip. Kellogg says, Michael's most recent behavior is not consistent with the image of Kellogg. His contract expires at the end of February. We've made the decision not to extend his contract. So,
what a great pot party.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Swimming Federation has banned Phelps from competing for 3 months. So he's going to have 3 months just to smoke all the pot he wants, which I think works out well for him.
It does.
Yeah, I don't care what he does. I just think he's enormously stupid.
Well, I think we all know that.
As most athletes are, particularly athletes of his age.
But he's got a golden personality, I'll tell you that.
He does have that going
plus.
For him. So people want to see him host Saturday Night Live more.
That's the hidden benefit, is that this might help erase him from our TV screens and from our magazine.
We won't have to deal with him anymore.
People are going so out of their way to try to get him out there into the public, and he's such a zero. I mean, he's the absolute
zero.
Maximum zero.
He's an amazing athlete, but a zero when it comes to personality.
Yeah.
Just keep him in the water. Just pretend he's a fish. Just make him stay in the water.
He is a fish.
That's the secret.
What?
Yes.
Tonight, Neil Diamond will be honored here in Los Angeles for Music Cares. Familiar with that charity?
Yeah. Yep.
They do good work. He's the person of the year. Tonight, he'll be honored, and Coldplay, Foo Fighters, Kid Rock will all be performing some of Neil's biggest hits at a charity event that raises money for the Music Cares Foundation.
Oh, love to see that.
How great would that be?
That sounds like fun.
If they were singing different songs, I'd be happier.
Neil Diamond songs?
Yeah.
Come on!
Does it say what numbers they're doing, Ralph?
No, it doesn't. But apparently Jonas Brothers and Jennifer Hudson are also performing, so you gotta take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
What song could Coldplay do? I'm trying to picture them doing a Neil Diamond song.
Red, Red Wine.
That a Neil Diamond song?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's also going to be performing at the Grammy Awards on Sunday. So, big great. Week for Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Neil Grohl do, like, I'm a Believer or Cherry Cherry or something like that. He would just rock it. What is wrong with you, Kevin?
Yeah. How is that
what's the
relevant?
Big anthem? They're coming to
America.
That's the
America.
One they need.
Yeah, Grohl would be great
are,
on
like,
that, too.
Big anthemic sound.
Yeah. Congratulations to Jeffrey Donovan, star of Burn Notice. Anybody watching Burn Notice
over there
in the USA Network?
I watch that show.
Occasionally. It's good.
You are not alone. It is currently the top cable drama series among adults 18 to 49.
Really?
It's the number one basic cable show in America.
Have you seen that Gabriel Anwar in a bikini?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, my God.
I don't like those abs. I don't like that 8-pack
she's
got.
Like, she's more buff than you.
Yeah, she is. And she has the same level chest as I do, which is needs to
they
be taken care
they
of.
Make it look bigger, though.
No, bigger. She needs bigger.
No, but it's not an attractive look.
No.
It's kind of shocking,
Madonna
really.
She's got, like, washboard abs, and it's just freaky.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show.
But it is.
But
a good
she should
show.
Keep her clothes on, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Sixth grade in clothes.
Yeah, it's the number one cable show in America, which surprises me because I've never seen it. I don't know anyone until this conversation who had. Yep. But good news for Jeffrey Donovan, who's the star of the show. He has just renegotiated his deal. He was making $55,000 an episode. He just got a new deal for $150,000 per episode.
Nice.
Wow.
Well, raise.
It's a raise.
So good for him. And more good TV news for Sean Stewart. He's getting his own reality show.
Yep. Not a surprise there.
Apparently, he is going to star in a program where cameras will follow him around as he attempts to launch his own fashion line.
God.
That's one of the few people in this world where you go, every second somebody watches him, they're going to hate him more.
Yep.
That's the only effect that show will have.
Sean, if I'm on your show and I rough you up, what's going to happen?
I'll tell you, if you touch me again, I'm calling the cops, Holmes.
Quite sure. Should have a fashion line. Yeah, nut loaf.
He should have gotten the Liam Neeson role and taken. Listen to it.
Oh, it's scary. And I'm so bummed.
What?
America's Got Talent's coming back this summer.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm bummed too now.
No, that's the good part.
Oh, that's not why you're
the
bummed.
The bad news is Jerry Springer won't be hosting.
Why?
Because apparently he's got some other obligations. His talk show, he said, and a stage play that he's going to be doing takes precedence over this gig this summer.
Well, I certainly understand that.
Who can replace Jerry on that show, though? He was the heart and soul of that show.
I think Haas should just host and be a judge.
And judge. Yeah. And perform.
Yes.
Every week.
Yes.
Just make it like the Haas variety show.
I would love that.
America's Got Hoff.
Yes.
I like that. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor, director Robert Townsend is 52. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses turns 47. Anchorman from NBC News for many, many years. Tom Brokaw, 69. And Rick Astley. Never gonna give you up. It's funny, before I got into radio as a profession, I used to listen to radio, and I heard these two a-holes, they once called Rick Astley to see what he was up to.
No way.
Yeah, and they talked to him, and it was like, I was like, really? They're doing this bit?
That's lame.
This is an idea that they had, and then they said, yeah, let's do it.
Where was that? Where did you hear that?
I can't
that?
Remember what station it was. I can't remember.
That's stupid.
May have been Mark and Kim, now that I think about it.
Probably was.
I was very much like Kim fans back in the day.
Sure.
He is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All weekend long, by the way, starting at noon today on K-Rock, we're hooking you up with snowboards and mountain high lift tickets. If you go to the front page of K-Rock.com this morning, you can see some great new video, including Psycho Mike trying to snowboard for the first time, apparently not successfully. Dave the King of Mexico attempting a double black diamond. There's video of that up there. Mm-hmm. Kevin, there's audio of you and me broadcasting live many years ago while skiing.
What?
I bet that's good.
Well, here's what I remember about that. Bean had never skied before. Went down a bunny hill or whatever it's called and did it backwards on accident.
I think I did 2 360s in the course of getting down the
hill. But stayed up the whole way down. It was a complete mess.
Amazing.
Somehow, Spider Biffa stayed up, and I don't know how.
Yeah, and of course, Mountain High live snow cams if you're making plans to join us on the mountain this weekend. So that's all at krock.com.
Psycho Mike, who do we have here? You're talking with people at the Grammys?
I did. I went to the Grammy Roundtable deal yesterday, and the first interview we have is with the Kings of Leon. A couple minutes of our interview with them.
Now, this single that has brought you here to the Grammys, I heard that it almost didn't make it on the album. Is that true?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a shoo-in. Normally, that's how it goes, though. Usually, it's the song that you're second-guessing that ends up being one of the bigger songs on the album, but I don't know. I didn't know if it was going to go on the album, and then once it did, we definitely didn't know it was going to be a single, let alone be the song that broke us in America, so it's kind of strange.
Your religious upbringing, your parents, both in the clergy or just your father?
Just our dad.
Are they happy with the rock and roll lifestyle of the brothers following?
Yeah, they're all really proud of us. I don't, you know, sure it wasn't the first thing that they had hoped we would do, but they're all very supportive, and they're all very angry at us that they're not here at the Grammys with us. So
got one of those Google alerts on all things Kings of Leon. I also got a Ticketmaster update on all the new shows and stuff. And about 5-6 months ago, I see Kings of Leon, Madison Square Garden. Do you ever have any apprehension knowing that you're going to be in a venue like that?
I definitely. As soon as it was mentioned, we were all like, oh, no way. You know,
right.
We thought it was kind of a joke, but... But then it got closer and closer, and before we knew it, it was like we were a month away. So finally we talked to our managers. We're like, well, what are we going to do, man? You know, how are we going to sell tickets? And they told us it had sold out.
You tell me a little bit about the town that you guys come from in Tennessee. I mean, this is not a big cosmopolitan, right?
Well, no, we were born in, I was born in Memphis, but we grew up in Millington. I'm glad we grew up in a place like that as opposed to in L.A. or New York, you know.
Do you think that that's really molded your writing stuff?
Absolutely. The reason I wanted to be a songwriter is because I lived my whole life looking out the window and just, you know, dreaming about what all was out there. And so because of that, I think that's the style of writing that I've chosen. I try to tell stories and try to be, you know, visual with it. Except for Sex on Fire, you don't want to envision that.
They are a great live band, by the way, and super cool dudes. Remember they when they were on our show when they were opening for U2 and they came and slept in their bus in the parking lot and then rolled out of here like 90 seconds before the interview? They're living the rock and roll dream, though, aren't they, Mike?
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of living the rock and roll dream, the next guy I talked to, Steven Adler, former Guns N' Roses drummer, who we now know mostly from Celeb Rehab and the Sober House.
Yeah.
And, he looked great. He sounded great. And so I asked him a couple questions about the experience.
Do you look back at the footage from the Sober House,
and does
it give you a different perspective on just how troubled you are?
110%. I think everybody who has someone in their life that they care about, but if they film them up, when they look at that film the next day, they'll look at what they're doing to themselves a little different.
So you can recognize that you turn into a totally different person.
What you see in your mind about you and what other people are two totally different things.
Would you have traded that time and all the positive that came with being in Guns N' Roses for not having to deal with the troubles and the fallout from being so addicted to heroin?
No. That was a part of what I expected and wanted out of life. Yeah. When I was growing up, you see, they didn't have Behind the Music. And so growing up, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to make out with all the girls all around the world. I wanted to do drugs with all the big rock stars.
Right.
And I did it.
Have you heard Chinese Democracy? And
yes, I have. And I love Axl.
Uh-huh. End of comment. Okay, all right. Well,
sounded like there was going to be more, but no.
I think he stopped himself.
I love Axl. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, why start a feud? He's so right, by the way. Almost anyone who's ever been drunk or high, if they saw video after the fact, I mean, look at David Hasselhoff. You think he had any idea that's what that video would look like?
Well,
you
know? I know that guy seems like it happens more than once.
Well, maybe so. That was pretty cool. I mean, seeing that dude even still be alive, much less be able to carry on a conversation, huh?
Yeah, yes. And you're just happy to see him in such different condition than the last condition that we saw him in.
Yes.
When he was getting arrested at Sober House for bringing in heroin.
And then they showed them the tape, showed him the tape the next day. It was devastating.
And it seems like it really helped him. So.
Yeah.
The last interview we'll play here is Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey.
One of the nicest, coolest guys I've ever met. Totally cool, but obviously there's a lot going on right now that I had to talk to him about.
Do you Twitter?
I have no idea what Twitter is. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have a MySpace. And is Twitter like that kind of stuff?
You update people on what you're doing.
Oh, really?
So right now I'm going to update. Hey, I'm talking to Nick Lachey.
Oh, wow.
Was there ever like any like boy band beef? Did you guys ever have any animosity for each other?
We did. There was a group specifically overseas that we got into a huge thing with, a group called Five. They were big in England.
Yeah.
And, we hated each other. So we had a couple nights of a few pints that ended up, you know, we ended up getting a little scuffle. Backstreet Boys, and we didn't really get along with them for a long time, and then we kind of made amends later on.
It's been a blessing, but it's been certainly a curse. Would you go back in time and marry Jessica again if you had the choice?
Knowing what I know now?
Yeah.
At the time, I was, you know, we were absolutely, you know, in love. So, I mean, you make those decisions for the right reasons. Good things came out of it. Bad things came out of it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And you move on in life and you do what you can with that, you know?
And a huge factor in the relationship ending had to be Joe.
That's a very, very loaded question and one that I am not in a position to answer.
Okay, I understand fully. Okay. Last question. Do you grab just a nice montage of fat Jessica pictures and laugh your ass off? I mean, do you just put a picture of fat Jessica next to Vanessa sitting on the couch and go, ha ha?
I don't take pleasure from this unfortunate incident that's happened in her life. I wish her nothing but the best, and I think it's unfortunate that such a deal is being made. Over a bad angle on a picture.
An unfortunate incident is a miscarriage. Her filling yourself full of food till she gets to enormous proportions is all her control.
I'm sure it was lighting and bad angles.
Okay. You are a very nice man. You're much nicer than I.
Wow.
He is a nice man.
He would not get sucked into
Bless
that, would
his
he?
Heart. He's a good ex-husband.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's someone who, I mean, he divorced Jessica and still won't say anything bad about her.
He wouldn't talk about father-in-law because he probably would be snuffed out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'd be killed.
And even when we turned the mics off and we were talking, he was like, you know, it probably was bad angles and I really don't wish this upon her.
But seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was totally trying to get him to give me the dirt. And
what's Nick Lachey doing there? He's not involved in the Grammy telecast Sunday night at all.
No, he does have an album that he will be releasing pretty soon, and he was there to promote it and just, you know, doing his job as a singer, I guess.
Were the guys from Blink-182 there who I hear are going to be presenting?
Dave and I didn't see him.
No. Look, you're going to go back today?
Oh, yeah, we'll be back today. Hopefully more hard-hitting interviews. Dave and I at the Grammys.
Fantastic.
Recently announced the lineup for Coachella 2009. You can get a list of all the acts for all 3 days at krock.com. Tickets are on sale now and are going quickly. We've been giving them away all this week, and everybody who won qualify for the grand prize drawing that we're about to do now for destination number two for KROQ's World Tour 2009.
Sending someone to Spain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here.
We're cool.
We're cool because someone else
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Kevin, you ever been to Spain?
I have. I've been to Barcelona. Remember the topless beaches? And
I've been there, too.
Old women.
Hello? Yep.
Is this Corey Hogan?
Yes, it is.
Or Kerry Hogan? Which is
Corey,
it?
Corey Hogan. Corey. Yeah.
Are you the Hulkster's son?
Nephew.
No kidding.
That was just a joke,
seriously?
But okay. Well, what did it do, nephew?
What
nice. Hey, dude, you qualified for the KROQ World Tour destination number two, which is the Killers in Barcelona.
Barcelona! Barcelona!
You also got tickets for night number two for Coachella. You're going to go see the Killers there. Yes. And you're our grand prize winner for the trip to Spain.
Thank you, my friend.
You got airfare for two to Spain. You got hotel. You got tickets to see the Killers and $500 spending cash.
Thank you so much.
Nicely done. You're very awake. Are you at work?
No, I never get up this early. I knew about this, and I was kind of nervous. It was the Christmas.
You had a feeling?
You know.
Well, I'm glad you won. A lot of times we can't tell if people even know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's a little frustrating.
And a lot of times, this is what's weird, is a lot of times people, they don't even think that, Monday morning I might be called. Like, they make no effort whatsoever to be prepared in case the phone rings and it might be us. I mean, at least you knew there was a possibility you could win.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're talking about most of the people who qualified, and it doesn't occur to them that maybe they might win. Well, you're our man, Corey. Congratulations. You are going to Spain to see the Killers, and let us know how that goes.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Dave can have Kristen Bell. I'm going after this Nadia Sulman. I just saw her on the Today Show. The hottest woman in the world
who
has 14 children.
Oh, the mom of 14 kids.
Well, that is a slim category, but I agree with you. She wins.
I'm just saying, out of all the people in the world who have given birth to 14 children, she may be the best looking. So I think I'm on board now. I thought she was a crazy hoe before, but now that I've seen her on the Today Show, I'm kind of down with it a little bit.
Really? You're down with it because she's hot?
I think so.
That's weird.
Well, she's going to make hot kids, so I'm not, I got no problem with that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous KROQ. It is Friday. Ralph has the movie beat coming up. First, though, Dave, the King of Mexico, is here in studio with us because we're about to talk to his girlfriend, Kristen Bell. Where's Kristen? Did you leave her this morning and remind her that she had to get up at 7:30 to talk to
Dave? I don't know if she's my girlfriend anymore, dude. She's been avoiding me lately.
Really?
She's not calling in right now, you know.
I'd like to suggest she was never your girlfriend.
I thought there was a spark there.
She's booking all her late night gigs when I have stuff to do, you know, so I can't go to those gigs. So
really, she's got your schedule and she's planning accordingly.
Like, she was supposed to be on Kimmel last Wednesday, and she postponed. But I had a Clipper game that night, and I didn't know that. And then on Friday, I went up to Bear, and she did Kimmel that Friday. And now tonight, she's doing Craig Ferguson. And I can't go tonight either because I'm going back up to Bear.
Well, you make a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah, what about you changing your schedule a little, mister?
No, she should do it earlier in the week when
I
have nothing going on.
Wow.
What was the first thing you mentioned that you had going on?
You said a basketball game.
Yeah. Certainly can't redo that another night. There aren't any more of those.
I already have tickets, you know.
You're bad.
No, why is she avoiding? Why does she hate me now? What
did
I do?
You're losing interest in her, though.
She hates you for the same reason we all hate you.
No. You
know, fingerless gloves.
No way. She loves the fingerless gloves. Everybody loves them.
Yeah. We hope to speak with Miss Bell in a moment. Her new film is called Fanboys that opens up everywhere today, which naturally Dave has already seen. He has at least he's made that effort to go see the movie. Is she adorable in it?
I love her even more after that movie. It's just she's so awesome in it.
Yeah.
Naked?
Well,
no, but she does.
Sort of. I have that clip. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to reach her, but I would like to play the clip because it's very funny. She's in a comic book store.
Yes.
And she and one of the geeks that's in the comic book store is trying a Jedi mind trick on her.
Okay.
To get her to take off her shirt.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one is sitting on the computer chatting with, I don't know,
some girl he's in love with.
Yeah.
Who we met online.
She pulls up her shirt to show him her boobs, and he doesn't pay any attention to what's going on. So that's what this scene is.
You want to take your shirt off. God.
You have been trying that Jedi mind trick on me since the 8th grade. It doesn't work.
Oh, it works. Tell her, Windows.
He's been geeking out with Rogue Leader all morning. Nothing can tear him away. Ah, I love the feeling of fresh air on my naked breasts.
Whoa!
See that? Man's immune to sweater yams.
What about me?
Yeah, the guy that was trying to get her to take it off didn't get to see it. The dude who was looking at his computer didn't look up. And they don't...
They don't.
They don't show us.
No.
They don't show sweater yams.
They show her from behind.
Later in the movie, she moons Star Trek fans. Come
really?
On!
Wow.
That's why
come
we love
on.
Her. That's why we love her.
Yeah, she, but apparently she hates me now. So.
Well, she should. She's nearly perfect. I wonder if Dave were to walk out of the room, if then she'd feel comfortable.
Probably. You know what, she's just waiting.
What's really sad is when Dave and Kristen were in the early first flushes of love, when I thought there might be a relationship
there. Was
there,
no love.
When they were texting and they were all, you know, all friendly.
Yeah.
Dave went out and got her a very special gift. He had a very special gift made for her, and she refuses to come back in so we can give it to her, so we can award it to her. And now I don't know what the status is of that, but it's just collecting dust.
Yep, you mean just sitting on my desk. And Kristen Bell salt and pepper shakers, those?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why she's not coming in. Can't figure that out.
Did you get a crazy stalker vibe out of someone who would have salt and pepper shaker made of them as a couple?
She likes salt and pepper shakers. What do you want from me?
Here's what I'd like to suggest about Kristen Bell. If she's not calling us, that's the right decision because she's the best. So she's doing
she
the right
smart
thing.
Smart enough to know to avoid our show is what you're saying.
Fanboys does come out today. Dave saw it. It was good.
It's great. Awesome. It's awesome. Funny. Yeah, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're
going to
love
it. A bunch of Star Wars fans in 1998 that are trying to break into George Lucas's ranch and watch the Star Wars Episode 1, right?
Yeah.
Before it comes out. And it looks awesome.
Ordinarily, if we have an interview lined up and somebody stiffs us, they are dead to us.
Correct.
We urge you to not see the movie.
Right.
But who can blame Kristen Bell? Go see it anyway.
It's all my fault. I'm sorry, guys. I believe.
There's a TV show that's coming back for a new season that I love. It is called 1,000 Ways to Die. How could I not love it? We'll talk to the producer of that coming up after the what used to be the news at 8 o'clock this morning. First, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Could you pick one, Bean?
Pick one what?
What?
Way to Die.
One way to die.
Yeah. Just pick one.
And do
just
it.
Pick one.
Quit talking about it. Just do it.
There's 1,000 ways. You can't pick one. Come on.
Well, I don't think it's my time yet. I'm hoping it's going to be of old age and in my sleep. That's what I'm shooting
for. But can't
for.
It be your time?
Oh, how dare you.
I mean, isn't that an option?
Come on.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
You guys watch Oprah Winfrey?
No. Well, no. Occasionally my wife drags me into it, but no.
I only think of this because there's a story in the news today about Shakira has just opened her 5th school in her hometown of Barranquilla, Colombia, which will serve 1,500 students. That's pretty cool when someone has that kind of money and takes time to take care of the kids in their home country, you know?
I agree. Sure.
Just like Oprah when she built that school for girls. And oh, wait a minute. No, that was Africa. She didn't do squat for American girls. But I was watching last night at ABC because I'm in love with the Life on Mars. Now, you're watching the Life on Mars?
No.
God damn, that's a good show. And they've got the promo for Oprah coming up, right?
Right.
And so it says, Oprah Winfrey in today's show is, and it's her saying, I found a place where stretch marks and a big ass make you sexy. And it's like, oh, now she has to look around the world for some place where she can fit in.
Yeah.
She can't just lose the weight. Now she's got to go someplace, right? It's like, say, you know, if I go to a leper colony, look how good my skin is. No, it doesn't work that way. Not by comparison. All right, we have a very special... Ralph's Showbiz Beat today.
Okay.
I'm bringing a special guest on the show because, you know, I have been complaining to you, Kevin and Bean, about how you've been treating the whole Kristen Bell story. How I do not think it's funny what you've been doing to Kristen Bell.
No, I don't know that at all.
I don't like the way you've been mocking him.
I haven't protested that at all.
I find it offensive, personally, and that voice that Bean does where he pretends to be Kristen Bell.
He doesn't do any voices.
Goes off on that rant we've heard.
You're
and I would like to take this opportunity to personally apologize to Mr. Kristen Bell. We've got him on the phone. Mr. Bell.
Hello there, guys.
Hello, Kristen. How are you?
Whoa. How you doing, fellas?
Oh, no. Doing well, sir. I just want to...
So who am I talking to?
Oh, no. This is Ralph, Kevin, and Bean, and Lisa May's also here in the studio, Kristen.
All right. right. Well, listen, I spoke with you guys a few years back. You seem like good guys. I wanted to talk with you about
it. Oh, no.
Right, are we being punked
no,
right
you're
here,
not.
Ralph?
This is really it Christian Bale. Like
please tell us it's not.
Believe me, this is no punk.
Wow.
Christian has apparently heard some of the segments we've been doing since the release of that audio tape.
And I got to tell you, listen, it has been a miserable week for me.
Sure.
And you guys, I was driving in the car. At least I think it was you guys I was listening to.
Right.
And you made me laugh in the midst of all this, this craziness.
I find that hard to believe.
Really?
So, listen, I know I have a potty mouth. Everybody knows that now.
Right.
But I understand this is live, so please don't worry. I will behave.
Okay, good.
Right.
Well,
we appreciate
if you
that.
Don't, we are done professionally, Christian.
Now listen. So can you let me make a few comments? About
yes, please.
Sure.
We'd love to give you the opportunity. Thank you for calling.
The thing that I really want to stress is I have no confusion whatsoever. I was out of order beyond belief. I was way out of order. I acted like a punk. I regret that, and there is nobody that has heard that tape that is hit harder by it than me.
Yeah.
So I make no excuses for it. It is inexcusable, and I hope that that is absolutely clear, you know?
I think
and
it
now,
is.
One thing that has really disturbed me throughout this, because I'm not familiar. I'm not comfortable yet with this notion of being a movie star. I'm an actor. And I don't quite know how to handle the movie star thing. And the thing that disturbs me so much is that I've heard a lot of people saying that I seem to think I'm better than anybody else. And nothing could be farther from the truth. I am a lucky... I don't want to swear. I'm a lucky...
SOB, right?
...what I do. I never forget that. And that is why I put so much into what I do and why I care so much about it and why sometimes that enthusiasm... Just goes awry, you know. And please, if anybody ever sees that I really am thinking that I'm better than anybody else, stick a fork in my backside.
Yes.
Turn me over. I will be done. That is not me, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, we were giving you points for the length of the conversation because I would have run out of energy at about 30 seconds.
Absolutely. Listen, and let me tell you how I had that much energy for that day. let me try to put this into a little bit of context, because there seem to be so many people who are given opinions about this, but you know what? None of them were there.
Yeah.
Now, so we're making Terminator. I'm assuming you're familiar with the mythology.
Of course.
Have you seen T2?
Yes.
It is a great movie. And in it, you will meet Sarah Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in an insane asylum. Why is she there? Because she is crazy. Now, I play John Connor, her son. And on the day that all of this happened, the scene that we were doing, I was trying to show a little of that in the blood craziness. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It went very wrong. And for reasons that myself... And Shane, the DP, and every crew member who was in that hangar at Kirtland Air Force Base that day, they know the reasons. I got annoyed, and then what happened, I made it ugly. And that was awful of me. I took it way too far, and I completely mixed up fact and fiction. I'm half John Connor, I'm half Christian there, and we've all heard.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
You know, Christian, the thing I felt bad about when I heard this, regardless of your personal behavior, was that I think that on a set or any sort of creative enterprise, there should be a certain amount of freedom to screw up and do what you do without having to face it being made public and then having to deal with it in the press. That must be awfully difficult.
I hear you completely, but it's no excuse, because you know what? That confidentiality, that trust is really not there for covering up bad behavior.
Right.
That is there, and it is essential. That is there, though, so that creatively you can experiment and you can try things that maybe are abysmal and maybe are embarrassing beyond belief, and you know, and there's a trust with the director and the producers that nobody will ever see that. It will be destroyed if it didn't work. But you have to try those things.
How long ago did this actually happen, and how long after?
This was back in July of last year.
July of last year, okay. And how long was it before you've
talked to the DP now?
Listen. I've not only talked with him. We have resolved this completely. That very day.
Oh, wow.
We kept working for a number of hours. Listen, when I'm saying I'm not coming back on that set if he's still hired, you know what? It's hot air. I don't believe that.
Right.
I have no intention of getting anybody fired. I absolutely believe in Shane's capability. He's done a wonderful job on that movie. We not only kept working that day, we worked together for at least a month after that, every single day. We saw each other 2 weeks back, and we worked together then. Everything is resolved between us. There is no problem whatsoever.
Is it weird?
He's done a great job with it. And I really want, through this, that in case anybody has considered he's not doing a great job, I want everyone to know, I've seen a rough cut of the movie. It looks fantastic, and he has done a wonderful professional job, and I don't want anyone to have a misunderstanding about that.
I am really looking forward to this movie. It does look fantastic.
I appreciate that, because so many people, not just me, not just Shane, so many crew members have worked so hard on this movie. And a really important point that I want to make is that, hey, I know a number of people are going to be thinking they don't want to go see the movie because they think I'm some kind of prima donna or something.
Right.
It ain't that. It's just maybe sometimes I care too much about the movie. But, you know, it wasn't just me. It was Shane, the DP, the director, the other actors, every single crew member. Everybody worked so hard on this movie. And please, I'm asking people, please, do not allow my one-time lapse in judgment, my incredibly embarrassing meltdown, to overshadow this movie and to have all of those people's hard work go to waste. It is just too great a mythology for that to happen.
One other thing is,
a lot of people have said I'm being a bully to this guy. It's an insult to Shane. I couldn't bully that guy if I tried. He is a big guy. He is much bigger than me. He's an ex-friggin' football player. You know? I mean, this is not Little Orphan Annie that I was going off on. Okay?
Yeah.
And the other point is, a lot of people have been talking nonsense about that it almost came close to being physical. It never came close to being physical whatsoever. So please, I just want to make completely clear, I am embarrassed by it, and I regret it, and I ask everybody to sit down and ask themselves, have they ever had a bad day, and have they ever lost their temper and really regretted it immensely?
Yeah, we have a special appreciation for mistakes that we make, and then they come back to haunt us on tape and get played over and over again. That really sucks. And we were saying at the time, I'm sure you heard me say this, Christian Bale, that... it's a good thing all of us don't have our worst moments taped and, you know, put out there for everyone to hear, because that would be embarrassing for us.
I yell at Kevin and Bean like you did every day, Christian. That's what it is.
That happens.
Right. Yeah. It's just nobody else hears it.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly.
Okay, you, guys, listen, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yes.
I also appreciate you making fun of it. You know, I had it coming. Feel free to make fun of me. At my expense.
Well, you've kind of taken the fun out of it now. I mean, now we kind of see where you're coming from.
I deserve it completely.
Well, I was always told Kevin and Bean it was a bad idea, that I really was against it, but they insisted.
We told Ralph he shouldn't have made fun of you.
Thanks very much for listening to me. And listen, one extra thing, nothing to do with the movie, but I was listening to the radio earlier on. Please, Michael Phelps.
Yes.
Swim in the next Olympics.
Yeah.
This guy has a God-given talent. Yeah.
So I think he will.
Smoked a bit of weed. Plenty of our presidents have.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Including the current one. Right.
Everybody makes mistakes. Bounce back from it. You know, do not waste that godlike talent. Swim in the next Olympics, please.
I'm sure he will.
Very good. All right. Okay. You're a big man for owning up to your mistake, and I hope that a lot of people listening will hear the perspective that you put it in and accept your apology and continue to support the great work that you do up there on the screen. Christian Bale, thanks for calling in today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you very much, man.
Thanks very much.
Adios.
Say goodbye. Okay, that was weird.
Yeah, that was my special showbiz guest.
How did that happen, Ralph?
Turns out Bale's a fan.
No.
Fan of mine.
I want the K-Rock listeners to know that as surprised as they were to hear Christian Bale's voice the other day, Kevin and Bean, equally surprised.
We were sitting in the office, and Christian's publicist called Alex, our producer.
This morning?
Yeah. while we were trying to get Christian Bell on the phone, Christian Bell was calling in.
Okay.
It was one of those
That's
mornings.
Confusing.
Yeah. And she said he's been listening this week. He thinks Ralph's impression is funny. He's been laughing, but he would also like the opportunity to talk about what's been going on. And I said, well, I don't know. I do have a story about Angie Everhart having a baby. I don't know if I can squeeze him in or
don't
not.
Know if that could be bumped.
But if I can carve some time out for Bale, I will let him on the air. So that's how
it
that
didn't
happens.
Sound like he was aware that you did the impression of him.
Well, I denied it. That's why when I called in, I said, those guys are a-holes. I'm with you. Freaking Omar with his voice doing that impression. It was horrible.
That's the impression I got, yeah.
So let me ask you this, because there have been people all week long on television who've been saying the first step that he needs for to be forgiven, to have this moment put behind him, is to come out and make a sincere apology. And I believe with all my heart in speaking with the man just now that he is very sincere, that he feels bad for it and explained to us why it happened. But it does sound to me like he's, you know, it was a reasonable explanation to me, I think.
Absolutely. And I think, as Kevin has said, when it first happened, and we've been saying all along, the unfortunate part is when you're a star of that caliber, if you screw up, it comes back to haunt you, and the whole world has to hear it.
7 months later.
And you have to live with it over and over and over again.
So do we have to stop playing it or no? We can still play it, right?
He said we could.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, didn't he?
He said have fun, but
that's pretty good tape.
It is, but now I feel like he's apologized, and I don't know. I do feel differently about it now, because he's not just some a-hole who's picking on a little guy. Now he's a guy who is a human being having a bad day in extraordinary circumstances, and he's apologized for
it. But if we let everybody that is a human being off the hook, you know, I mean, who do we make fun of then?
Animals.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know what you got for next hour, Ralph, because that's going to be tough to top.
I think I'll get that broad who had the eight kids, the octuplet broad.
Sure.
I'll have her on next.
Yeah,
right.
All right.
Yeah, that's my next get.
Well done.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So that was Christian Bale calling in, talking about the thing on the Terminator with the deal with the thing?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because we're weak. We're pathetic. I got to be honest. We make fun of a lot of people. And then every once in a while we'll run into them. We go,
I sure wish I hadn't said those things about him.
That's right.
Well, it sounds like he's tough enough to take it. He is freaking Batman, for God's sakes. Yeah. Anyway, we will put the interview up on the website. And, of course, tell your friends that we'll play it again this afternoon between 5 and 6 on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. As if Christian Bale isn't a big enough star on the program, how about Tom Beers joining us in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Executive producer, one of the best goddamn shows on TV. It's coming back this weekend on Spike with a special one-hour debut of 1,000 Ways to Die. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Tom, you may not know this, but Bean, my partner, is obsessed with human death. That
I
is
do love
his
death.
Doesn't like animal death at all, but human death he is giddy over.
Well, is it something from an early, like, did you remember growing up in when you were a kid and you'd find the National Enquirer like under your mom's bed or something, and it had all these like weird things about, you know, how people died? That's how I grew up, man. And I get that way. I'm like,
I grew up looking at the naked pictures of women in Africa.
Oh yeah.
I got stuck on that.
I came across your show last summer for the first time, and I had not heard about it. I don't know whether there wasn't much publicity on it or I just missed the campaign, but it was one of those moments where you're flipping around and you go, I can't believe this show exists, and I didn't know about it. I was so happy. And I even remember the episode that I saw. It was the dude that that ended up in a – he died in a freezer.
Yeah.
He died in a freezer. And what was fascinating about the show is they do a complete reenactment about this guy, and it ended up, if I remember correctly, Tom, it ended up being a murder, like a guy intentionally locked him into a freezer to freeze to death, right?
Well, yeah. The whole idea of this show is, you know, I deal with a lot of shows that on other shows, guys die, and they die for bad reasons. You know, a Deadliest Catch. I mean, you know, you're up there next to Ballard. Give a shout out to my boys while you're up there, man. But
all right.
In X-Men and Black Gold, I mean, really dangerous ice road truckers. But so this was almost like a safety valve for me. It's an opportunity to actually look at death in another way. These are dumb deaths. These are the kind of deaths that's like, you know, you look at someone and you go, boy, that was really stupid.
So it's
kind of
like we're a little better off for this. It's not somebody that you have a lot of empathy for.
It's thinning the herd.
That's fine with us.
There we go. It's a little bit of Darwinism in action here, you know.
But some of these people who die are complete accidents. Like, I remember the show where the guy who accidentally
fell into an industrial dryer. Remember, and then the dryer got turned on somehow, and he burned up.
That wasn't
his stupidity. I think it was just an honest mistake.
No. But what I was going to say is, the other one was that it's either a dumb death or it's just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Just weird, bizarre coincidences.
Yeah, exactly. Because it usually takes two or three different things to actually get you in that position. No, I've done that. I mean, for me, it's like I remember about 9 years ago, I'm on the Zambezi River, right, and I'm shooting in an ultralight, doing about 70 miles an hour, only about 6 inches over the river, and the sun's setting, and it's a beautiful day, and I'm flying about 70 miles, and all of a sudden, boom, right up in front of me, a hippopotamus comes right up out of the water. Boom, I hit him right in the back of the head.
Dear.
Blood everywhere. The Crocs come off the side of the banks like a Tarzan movie, and we're in the river, and it's like, oh, my God. And in your mind, you're going, boy, that was stupid.
Yeah, this is my turn.
Yeah, my turn.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you get out of that?
Well, we got saved. A couple of guys in a dugout canoe literally came and pulled us, and my buddy had broke his back. I mean, it was brutal. But those are those moments, those dumb moments where you just go, boy, what a dumbass.
That has happened to me so many times where I've been in a plane right above a river and hit a hippopotamus. It's an easy mistake to make. Now, February 8th, this Sunday at 10 o'clock on Spike, is the one-hour debut of what I take will be a new season, right? The show is back on
is this a new
format,
season,
right?
Or what's
well, yeah, yeah, no, no, no. What I did was I just did a special. I did a couple of half hours, just a little test for Spike, and clearly, everybody got it, so I was like, yo, this is cool. Let's do this again.
Okay. What's going on with the woman in the fruit on this Sunday night show?
The
woman. What does that mean, the woman in the fruit?
Well, there's a woman with some vegetables. I'm trying to remember if there's the popsicle. Yeah. The peeping
weird
Tom
you have right now.
Peeping Tom with the stripper. Yeah. It's a guy.
Oh, you know how to sell a show, by the way. Oh, the peeping Tom with the stripper.
Yeah,
all right, I'll watch.
Stripper. It's like, well, it's just basically it shows. The guy stuck his neck out a little too far, decided he wanted to stick his head in the window a little too much, and, the window came down and took his head. Man, broke his neck.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So, but
you mind
also,
if I ask how fruit played into that death?
She was just cooling herself at the refrigerator in lingerie. It was just to be that moment, when the guy died. It was a terrible thing.
A young couple who has their last quickie in a helium-filled death trap. Do you remember anything about that one, Tom?
Oh, geez. Think about that. It's like, that great moment. It's like, here it is. They're up all night. It's homecoming weekend. These are true stories, by the way. They're up all night, and, they come across that 10-foot-tall helium-filled basketball from the homecoming weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And it's out on the front lawn of the campus. So they find the Velcro strip that opened it up. They stick their head in it, and it's like, oh, great, I can do munchkin stuff. Follow the Olympic runner. Sure. So they're like, this is really cool. So they both climb inside the football or the basketball.
Inside the helium thing.
And they're running around, making silly noises and decide to pop off a quickie. But the problem is they don't realize that helium's an inert gas. There's no oxygen in that thing. And they're like, they're dead in 8 minutes.
So I would
like,
so geez. Do that.
Yeah, wouldn't you though?
Oh, yeah.
You just
in a second.
Imagine, it's just going, oh, baby. Yeah. Oh, baby. And it's like, there's something about it.
This sounds pretty. Boom. Oh, when you and your team are selecting stories to recreate for 1,000 Ways to Die, do you have to go to the families and say, hey, we'd like to show what happened to your dad or whatever?
Yeah, no, we don't. What we did is we're very careful about this. This show, every death is based in science and fact. But, we change everybody's name, locations, dates, sexes, whatever it takes to really just, because what I want to do is I want to just show the weird frailties of life. You always wonder just how close you were to did a bullet one time in your life just go like 1 inch from your nose and you never knew it.
Right.
Or if you had gotten your car 3 minutes earlier, you'd have been in that accident, or 3 minutes later,
right.
All those little moments. Because you realize, and I said in the show, I wrote that, it's like every time you live, you face 1,000 ways to die. You don't know what's going to take you out.
Right.
And it hopefully it'll help you appreciate the fact that, you're living the life right, because these guys, like the furry dude we want to probably talk about.
Yes, please.
Yeah, furry sex. That's just bad living, man.
That guy, though, that's one of those where you go, okay, that needed to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Tell us about that guy.
Thin in the herd, right?
Yep.
But no, well, what happened was, a guy basically comes across. He's doing some mushrooms, and he's in the desert, and he out in Vegas. And I don't know if you ever saw that CSI episode where they actually had these furries.
Yeah, right.
So everybody talks about that episode. So this really, they really exist. And we found
furries are people who like to have sex dressed up as
animals.
Animals,
yeah,
okay.
Wearing nice soft plushy costumes,
yes.
And zebras and ducks and chickens.
And they have like conventions where they all show up.
Yeah,
it's ridiculously
weird. Totally freaky. So this guy comes across a group of them. There's about eight of them in the desert. it, and they're all having sex and having a great little romp. And he decides he wants to jump in, but they're all going, "No, dude, you're not wearing a costume. Get out of here." So they kind of boot him out. So he's sitting on the sidelines just kind of watching this thing play out, and all of a sudden over to the right, he sees this really good-looking girl in a teddy. Nice little teddy, well, kind of a bear outfit.
Right.
So he's like, "Yo, man, I'm going to get me some bear booty." And he goes over and he jumps on that bad girl and basically doesn't realize it's a real bear.
It's a real bear.
How was there a real bear right there?
Well, yeah. Well, out in the day, you know, it just happens to be that there was a bear there. It's a true story.
That was wrong place, wrong time right there. I mean, what are the chances of that?
Kevin, you always like to talk about you're at the top of the mountain, and then you're in hell 1 second later. That's what this dude thought. Wow, this bear is so hot. Wait a minute. Tom, you have carved out such an unusual niche for yourself on television because, like me, apparently you share the fascination with death. But, I mean, who would have ever thought Ice Road Truckers could even get on the air, much less be a huge hit? Like, how on earth do you even think there's a TV show and guys driving trucks in Alaska?
Well, you know, that was a funny one because, to be honest, when I created Deadliest Catch, that was me. I was out in the Bering Sea in 1999, and I was making a little special for Discovery Channel. What I didn't realize that we were basically rolling into the worst storm even today in 30 years. And within 24 hours, we were at 200 miles at sea, and the wind's whipping 80 knots, and the waves are cresting at 40, 45 feet.
Wow.
And basically, in that season, during that couple of weeks, two boats sunk around us, seven guys drowned, never even found the bodies. You know, so, I mean, it's chaos out there, but I saw the possibilities of the tele. I just kept shooting, you know, and I came back. And
I was going to ask you that. If at some point you got a little worried and put the camera down.
No. As a matter of fact, it went the other way. It was really funny. What I did was I thought, oh, my God, we're going down. We're going to sink in this thing. So I made meticulous notes, and I put every tape into my little Pelican case and with the notes. And I thought for sure when the boat started to go down, I'd throw it overboard. And, of course, that case would wash about 2,000 miles south.
Sure.
Land on a beach in California where an editor would find it, you know, and go through my notes and basically cut my film. So
some good thinking.
Yeah, thanks. Like thanks that. So much. But anyway, you know, so in that evolved into something, as we all know, Deadliest Catch. But Ice Road Truckers came to me because then Nancy Dubuque, who runs the History Channel, said, "Can you do the same thing with we had a little sped. They had a little special on Ice Road Truckers. It spiked every time it went on the air."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Can you do this?" And I got to be honest. I looked at the show and I said, "Wait a minute. I've got to make a TV series, 13 hours about a guy, men sitting by themselves in a truck, going 15 miles an hour in a straight line."
When you say it that way, it doesn't sound like a good idea.
Whoa, you know. So, but I love a challenge. So I thought, you know what? I know what I can do with this, and I knew the technologies, and I knew what I needed, and I went out, and you know, we did it. But the fun part was, I'm up there on that ice road. I'll never forget it, man. This ever happened to you? I'm standing. I'm on the road.
You hit
I'm
another
up the
hippo.
Arctic Circle. No, right, almost. And I'm by myself, and I'm about 300 yards from my truck, and I'm kind of trying to find an angle for a sunset and trucks going by where I'm going to set up a jib. And all of a sudden, it's 40 below. My eyes froze shut. It's like, oh, this isn't good.
But isn't that God telling you, you should not be here?
Yeah, I'm a dumbass. That's what I'm trying to say, you know?
But so as a successful television producer, don't you at that moment go, I could be doing the girls next door on the Playboy channel. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, nah. I don't like, look, you know, I just like being around, you know, kind of, I don't know. I'm a working class guy, blue collar guy. I like being around real people doing real work, you know?
Guys,
to me,
and drink
guys
beer.
And drink beer and you know, that to me, it really is. It's my life. It's my world. I know that niche, you know? So, but I could have been a frozen, you know, popsicle up there.
Yeah. Very close.
You are doing great work. I love all of your shows. Axeman I watched, The Ice Road Truckers, of course, Deadliest Catch. I mean, and this 1,000 Ways to Die, folks, if you have not seen this yet, it is very, very entertaining, and you will love the recreations. They do a great job with it. It comes back this Sunday night at 10 o'clock on the Spike Channel. Tom Beers, executive producer, you're welcome anytime, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Yo, guys, thanks for having me.
All I'm saying as we head into the movie beat this Friday, Ralph, is if you don't have at least Jennifer Aniston lined up for us to talk to here, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed.
Look, guys, I can't carry you every day. I do what I can. You know, I brought you Christian Bale today. Just maybe tomorrow I'll bring Aniston.
But that was
maybe
a half
tomorrow.
An hour ago.
I know.
What have you done for us lately?
I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of pots on the stove.
So tomorrow and Saturday you're going to bring someone in?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Saturday. Yeah. Wait to hear Saturday show.
It's going
to
be good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's Friday morning, time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man. Who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to
to my world.
Working on Kevin Meaney for Saturday's show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good.
Not right. Doing a show on Saturday.
Can't wait.
Let's talk about the movies, shall we? About a half a dozen new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Some really interesting-looking ones for everybody. There's something for everybody
good.
This week.
That's rare.
Yeah. For kids, this animated film... directed by the same guy who brought us A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that looks kind of good.
It's called
kids.
Coraline.
Yeah.
It's about a little girl who's unhappy with her family, and she wishes she had another family, and she gets her wish, and it turns out to be a big, 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 big mistake.
They're kind of creepy, that new family of hers.
Yeah, they're That's bad. They're bad. The other mother's bad, and she realizes that she appreciates her real mom even more when she has to deal with this crazy other mother.
Yep.
I love these kind of stories. These are the ones, like, when I used to read as a kid, like... Willy Wonka, the original book by Roald Dahl and stuff. It's like scary, but kind of good scary. Makes you, the lesson sort of sticks with you when you see these movies. Henry Selick is the, not, is it Henry Selick? I think he's the director of this film.
I don't know.
Last name is Selick. I can't remember his first name. But he did Night Before Christmas. He did James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, wow.
Just a really super talented director when it comes to animation and always does interesting projects. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this, and it's for kids as well. Dakota Fanning is the lead voice in it. Terry Hatcher also stars. Here's a scene from Coraline where Dakota Fanning, who plays Coraline, is demanding that her new mother, the other mother, the bad mother, who she thought was good initially, but it was too good to be true, man.
Sure. Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. She's demanding that she release her.
I want to be with my real mom and dad. I want you to let me go.
Is that any way to talk to your mother?
You aren't my mother.
Apologize. At once, Coraline.
No!
No, she
no.
didn't.
Take that, other mother. Also opening this weekend. Here you go, Lisa. He's just not that into you.
Yeah!
Finally. Woo! I'm just glad to see it come out. So we don't have to keep hearing about
it. So excited.
Every chick flick actress in the history of chick flicks is in this movie. Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Goodwin from Big Love, Jennifer Connelly. It's just a big estrogen fest. And it's all about girls who can't keep a man because they're hideous and annoying. And that's why
boys
he's just not
bad.
That into you.
Is that how they describe it?
I don't think so. Right. That's the truth.
In this, you didn't mention actress Ben Affleck also.
That's
she's
right.
In
she's in it too.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Long is also in this. He is plays Alex in the film. And here's a scene from the movie where he is just laying some hard truths on the character of Gigi, played by Jennifer Goodwin from Big Love. I think she's good.
Connor's never going to call you.
How do you know?
Because I'm a guy, and it's just how we do it.
He said it was nice meeting me.
I don't care if he said you were his favorite female since his mommy and Joni Cunningham. Over a week went by, okay, Gigi? And he didn't call you.
But maybe he did call, and I didn't get the message. Or maybe he lost my number, or is out of town, or got hit by a cab, or his grandma died.
Or maybe he just didn't call because he has no interest in seeing you again.
Yeah.
And?
Listen,
can you imagine 2 hours of hearing women having those conversations? Can you imagine?
No idea.
We have
Lisa,
this
stuff
in our heads all the time.
Yeah, well, keep it there where it belongs, in your heads. Do not put it up on a giant 30-foot movie screen.
Ralph, it's not for you.
Yeah, this is a book, right, Lisa? Started as a popular book?
It started
as
an
line.
Episode on
Sex in the City. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then,
the writers
of
that episode wrote a book based on that because it was such a popular episode.
Yes.
And now they made a movie based on the book. Based on dialogue from a TV show.
Because we never think that. We never think that it's just that he's not that into it. There's got to be another reason.
I'm pretty sure we understand the concept.
Okay.
Yeah. But nothing actually happens in the movie, right? It's just whether people call or not. I mean, that's the whole 2 hours.
I don't know. I'll tell you on Monday after I've seen it.
You will not tell me on Monday. You will keep it to yourself, whatever your thoughts are about this movie.
You can give us a quiet thumbs up or thumbs down. That's it.
Also this week, Steve Martin gets a second chance to rape Peter Sellers in The Pink Panther 2.
I can't tell what you think about this.
Come on. Even you, Kevin, who has the worst taste in comedies, you have to appreciate the fact that this is a bad idea, right?
Well, I don't agree with you that most people have seen the Peter Sellers
Pink Panther
version,
movies,
so I don't really care, but it doesn't look that interesting. It doesn't look good. That's what you're saying.
Even if there were no Peter Sellers movies, the first one was so horrible, I can't believe they made another.
I can't either, but apparently made a bunch of money.
Made big dough.
All over the world.
That's why they're doing a second one. But my respect for Steve Martin has dropped off significantly. I got to tell you that much.
Disappointing.
Probably a big paycheck.
Well, I'm sure it is. Here's a scene between Andy Garcia, who plays an Italian detective, dealing with Inspector Clouseau, the famous French detective, famously played by Peter Sellers in the really funny Pink Panther movies, and in Steve Martin in these two.
Good day. I am Inspector Jacques Clouseau of the French police.
Sono Vincenzo Rogara, Squaragialupi Brancaleone.
I'm Kenji Matsudo.
Kenji Matsudo.
Randall Pepperidge.
Randall Pepperidge. And this is my associate, Gilbert Ponton. And this is Nicole. Nicole is here to service your needs. And now, there is a crime scene waiting. Oh, excuse me.
El sino di crimo.
That is not Italian. And I do speak English.
Oh, really? Prove it.
That may be a longer 2 hours than Lisa's movie.
Although, how do you know? You couldn't see it because this is radio.
Don't tell him.
Our little boy Kevin over there just laughing, lifting the whole thing, just laughing, laughing, laughing.
In my defense, I laughed at the beginning, not at the end.
But you laughed at all. Well, there's no defense.
He says things funny.
Kevin, I can't decide between a fat joke and a dumb joke. Boom, roasted.
Fanboys also opens this weekend. We didn't talk to Kristen Bell, did we?
Talked about her.
We talked to Kristen Bale, but not Kristen Bell.
Right. Correct.
Right. I think there was some confusion on today's show.
One for two.
Should I have gotten Kristen Bell instead? Is that what you guys were looking for?
That's what we thought you were lining up for.
I'm sorry. Fanboys is the story of four guys and their girlfriend, her gal pal, rather, who do a cross-country trip to try to steal a print of the Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, from Lucas's Skywalker Ranch before the movie comes out, because they've got a dying friend and they want him to be able to see it before he passes away. It takes place, of obviously, in 1998, whenever that movie came out. But it's about geeks. It's about the sci-fi geeks. My people.
Yeah,
my
Kevin Smith's people. That's who this is about.
Yeah. Here is a scene where one of the geeks, Hutch, played by Dan Fogler, he's putting his moves on a hooker.
Putting his moves on a hooker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You want to take your shirt off. Warm.
Yummy.
Hutch, private convo, cheese.
What the hell are you...
What are you doing, man? Get the hell out of here. It's not a good time. The force is strong with me here.
Actually, your hour's over.
What do you mean, over?
Hutch, they're hookers.
We're not hookers. We're escorts.
The difference being...
I don't know.
So he's trying to use the Jedi mind trick on her. She wants to take her shirt off. But she's a hooker.
That looks funny.
It does. And lastly, Push. This is the movie I'm excited about.
So
usually, I don't go in for movies that are just the big science fiction sort of slapdash special effects kind of flicks, unless there's something underneath it. But this looks like it's had a really interesting storyline, too.
I go without something underneath it.
I know you do.
I love these.
But I kind of need a little bit more. I need dinner and a movie.
All right.
You know what I mean? Before I close the deal.
Sure.
Chris Evans, Psycho Mike's buddy, because he's buff and handsome,
sure,
stars in this film as a dude who can push things around with his mind. That's the kind of mind power he has.
That happens.
Much like Kevin. Same kind of strength of mind. And there's a whole government conspiracy where they're trying to make an army out of all these people with mutant powers and that kind of stuff. We've seen it before, but from what I can tell, the performances by Dakota Fanning and Chris Evans look great, and the special effects are top-notch. Here's a scene with Chris Evans taking on the bad guys in Push.
Give me one good reason not to kill you right now. Good. Gonna try and get inside my head? Go ahead. See if you can push me before I pull the trigger.
Yeah!
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
I'm with you.
Not one conversation about relationships in that entire scene I just played.
Oh, what if I can kill you before you push, but I wonder why you don't call me after we fight.
Not once does Chris Evans have one of those conversations.
And no phony French accents either.
That's right.
That's true.
I can push with my mind.
That's my pick for the week, and I'm going to go check out Push. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
I'll let you know. Is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
little less than an hour ago, the phone rang. It was Mr. Christian Bale, Batman himself. If you missed the interview, Ralph will have a couple of highlights for you in the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, Kevin, I understand you have a very special email you want to read.
I do. I have an email for myself. Dear Kevin and Bean, I write, it's the birthday today of Axl Rose and NBC News mumblemouth Tom Brokaw. My instant request is to have Axl Rose talk to Tom Brokaw about their birthday. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Right, but why do you – I don't understand. Why do you have to send an email? You're on the show. You could have just said it.
Just wanted to happen.
That's okay. All.
You got to put it in the email form.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request.
Instant request.
We do try to make the listeners and occasionally the hosts happy, so let's see if we can make your dreams come true. First, former NBC anchorman Tom Brokaw turning 68 today. Mr. Brokaw on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good. You know, I'm not as good, though, as the greatest generation.
The right. Greatest generation, yeah.
Fought in World War II.
Yeah, don't care.
But really, we owe so much to
you. Have
never
You've already turned that into a miniseries and a book.
Many years ago.
Right, but
not
we're over.
Many of them left,
Tom,
yeah,
that's fine, Tom. We don't have time.
We
can't understand you anymore.
Stand by, Mr. Brokaw. We got somebody else to bring into the conversation. Also celebrating a birthday today, ladies and gentlemen, the leader of Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose, 46 today, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Axl.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you doing today?
Axl, have you ever seen or heard Tom Brokaw?
I used to watch Tom Brokaw on the NBC News.
Okay.
He would do that story, and it would give me the blues.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Axl, but I don't think that it was, I should report that.
That's okay, Tom Brokaw. I forgive you.
Well, there you go.
Axl, can you not respond without singing?
Of course I can do that. It's got nothing much fun.
Okay. Now, Tom, you're 68 years old. Are you even aware of Guns N' Roses and the legacy of their music that they've contributed?
Of course, I know Guns N' Roses.
Wait.
I love them a lot.
Wait, what just happened?
I wasn't expecting that at all.
That was awesome, Tom Brokaw. That cracked me right up.
All right, everyone's happy.
Well, you're welcome, Axl. Happy birthday to you.
I'm sorry, what, Tom?
Happy birthday, Axl. I hope you wish him any more.
I can't. I'm not making out what you're singing there.
Happy birthday, Axl. I wish you many more.
I wish you many more. Okay. Fantastic. Everyone's happy.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 8:54.
Wow.
She was in a hurry to get out of the building, wasn't she?
On this that was a slick road.
Especially the loud sound effect, wasn't it?
Wow. All right. You can tell it's a Friday, by the way. And I just
Don't
like to say officially.
Bogart that joint, my
it's a travesty.
Friend.
It's a travesty, I tell you, that we have to come back this afternoon because we should be done. We put in a full week as far as I'm concerned.
No. We're not going to go again.
No. No. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and breaking news to announce that happened here on K-Rock this morning. Huh, Ralph?
Yes. Wow. Let me rearrange those words into a sentence I can understand. Hold on a second. Yes.
Breaking news to announce that happened here on
Bean
K-Rock
starting
this morning.
To
What's
talk
wrong with
Kevin.
That?
And
yes.
That's not good.
No, it isn't
He's been
good. Around me too much.
That little clip you heard, of course, was from the famous Christian Bale rant. That
no!
Was
no!
Leaked from the set of Terminator... Translators. What the hell is it called? Terminator yeah. Revelations?
Salvation.
Salvation.
There
we
yeah.
go. And turns out that all week long, while we've been talking about that story and having our little fun, Christian yeah. Bale, the star of the show, and the author of that rant, was listening in.
I don't like for people like that to personalize it, because then it makes it hurt to make fun of them, and
yeah.
then it's not as much fun.
You guys should feel bad after all those things you do, doing that voice of his and everything that you do.
Well, I thought
really
the voice...
La, 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 I can't hear you.
All right.
That was Lisa.
So... Turns out Christian Bale called in this morning
yeah.
to discuss what happened on the set that day and everyone else's response to it and his feelings regarding that. And we'll have the entire interview for you later today and this afternoon on the Cinco de la Tarde show.
Whatever.
Or Cinco de Tarde is what I should call it. But here's just a little taste of Christian Bale's apology regarding what happened on the set that you heard about.
I have no confusion whatsoever. I was out of order beyond belief. I was way out of order. I acted like a punk. I regret that. And there is nobody that has heard that tape that has hit harder by it than me.
Aww.
So yeah. I make no excuses for it. It is inexcusable. And I hope that that is absolutely clear.
And then we said, you don't expect us to stop playing the tape, though, do you?
No! No!
He insists that we keep playing. No, yeah. That was good, Kevin.
Okay.
That was nice. We'll tighten that up later.
No! No!
Actually, you'll hear the entire interview, as I mentioned, this afternoon. But he did say, feel free to keep making fun of me if you want. I deserve it.
Well,
but
now it sounded to me like he understood. Yeah, that's how I feel, too. It sounded to me like he understood that it was funny, and he got why people were goofing on it, because he laid himself out there to be goofed on with his bad behavior. And he
No!
Very-
No!
He said it's sincerely apologetic, and now I feel bad for the dude.
Although
with the beating that he's been taking from Kevin this week.
Yeah,
I know.
Dare you.
The way Kevin has been treating
him
has just
been said
unacceptable.
We're all lucky that our worst moments aren't tainted put out there.
Yeah, it doesn't stop us from playing.
No, I love that tape.
I
good
do
tape.
Have enormous respect for him, though, and I do believe that his apology was completely sincere. And
I do, too.
So it was kind
no!
of...
No! No!
Kind of cool to talk to him. And it was nice to hear that he has been listening, and he said in the middle of all of it, he was able to get a chuckle out of hearing us do what we were doing this week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which
I don't believe that.
Which is kind of cool.
I find that hard to believe.
I think it has to be true, or else why would he call
well,
us?
Well, maybe.
He hasn't talked about this with anyone else.
But
in
can
the
you
media.
Imagine, like, being... He's a movie star. He doesn't really have access a lot, you know, like we do every day. And hearing people make fun of him, that would suck ass.
But Kevin, think about what happened to us all those years ago when we
killed that guy.
Ran afoul of the law when we killed that guy. Yeah. And remember, it was comical how much press attention it got and all the various theories and people talking about it. And we couldn't talk to anybody about it. And we got some laughs out of the way it was handled in the media. And I'm sure it's the same for Christian Bale or anybody.
I'm just saying, dude could have gone anywhere he wanted to talk to anybody he wanted to about this situation.
All right, take he could have been on 60 Minutes this week. If he wanted to, right.
But he called us, and I thought that said something, that he listened, and he liked it.
Sir, it's very cool.
You can talk to a guy who tries to high-five a blind dude, or you can talk to Kevin and Bean. I'm saying, if those are your options in the morning, I think Christian Bale shows that the choice is pretty clear.
Sir, what did you think of the apology?
No, don't just be sorry. Think for one second. The are you doing? Are you professional or not?
We can still play that, though, right?
Wow, Kevin's, like a, saying, Kevin's like a dog with a bone.
Yeah.
You can't get away
from him. He doesn't feel the tiniest bit bad about
but
it
we
now.
Could, but that...
Did you forget already that we just talked to him today?
No.
Is that what the problem is?
He sounded like he had a good sense of humor.
He's our friend now. At least me and B. We're friends with him.
He's not your friend.
Whatever with you.
Nope.
Say, no! No!
Pretty cool day for me, though. We talked to Batman and Ra's al Ghul in the same day.
Yeah, we did have Liam
Neeson. The entire cast of Batman Begins was on today. So we can just get Katie Holmes on the phone, we'll be set. This is a day of reconciliation and forgiveness.
Wow.
That's what today's Showbiz Beat is all about.
Apparently, you came in breathing fire, by the way, Ralph, this morning. You're in a
and
bad
Christian
mood.
Christian Bale has changed my outlook on life.
All right.
No! No!
Apparently, Etta James says that she was just kidding when she said she was going to kick Beyonce's ass the other night.
No.
How many of us believe that?
Well, she's 70. Who's asking?
Yeah,
she
couldn't kick her ass if she wanted to.
No way is she kidding.
I was just playing, girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said she was just kidding around on stage.
Mm-hmm.
She does admit, though, she felt a little ignored when she was left out of the inauguration festivities because she wasn't asked to sing her song. And she does add that she thinks she could have sung the song better. But she was just fooling around.
She still has to.
She was going to say she was going to whoop Beyonce's ass.
You can't really say you're sorry and I could have done it better.
Yeah, I think she's sorry for the ass whipping threat.
Yeah.
Not sorry about the fact that she wasn't invited to the inauguration. It was a partial apology.
It was
to Christian Bale's, which was a complete and utter and total apology.
If you're President Barack Obama, who's what, 48 or something like that years old, you got your choice between Etta James, 75, Beyonce, 30. Who do you pick?
Plus, Michelle's not going to be around all the time. You know what I mean?
What's wrong with you?
If you're the president and you maybe can set up a little Beyonce action on the side?
No! No!
I'm just saying, where are you going to go? Beyonce. What cards are you going to play there?
I'm going to play the Beyonce card.
That's I think Barack saying. Could take Jay-Z.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Really?
No.
Oh, I think so, too. I think so, too.
You're both kidding yourselves.
Yeah, you're both crazy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, NBC News anchorman Tom Brokaw is 69 years old. I just heard him on the show.
Yeah, he
just
was,
talked to him.
Yeah, couldn't understand what he said, but
he
seemed good.
He loves that Welcome to the Jungle.
He does.
I was surprised.
He's a singer.
So talk about that World War II generation, by
Won't
the
shut
way.
Up about that.
Actor-director Robert Townsend is 52. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses turns 47 today. And singer Rick Astley.
Nope.
43 years old today.
Kevin and Bean Show before Ralph, interview with Rick Astley.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean Show after Ralph, Christian Bale.
You'll find this funny, Ralph.
Will I?
Bean was telling us while you were out of the room that he was trying to guess who our surprise guest was going to be today after you told us like 3 minutes before the break.
Right.
He thought it was going to be Rick Astley.
I would have been impressed.
And I said, Ralph wouldn't do that. That's a terrible idea.
It was a horrible idea when you guys did it back in the 80s when he was relevant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm standing by the Rick Astley interview, and I would interview Mr. Astley again today.
That's another bad choice. I'm just saying.
It's that kind of talk that concerns us, Bean.
Yes.
That's why you worry us.
All right. Are you done? Is that the end?
Wait for it.
Easy.
Okay, I'll wait for it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Okay.
Is that so much to
ask? Want to thank all of our very special guests on the program today. It has been a banner program here on the Kevin Bean Show because we talked to a member of Congress first thing this morning, U.S. Representative Bill Pascoe. We got to put that interview up at the website so people can hear what he's talking about as he joins us in our fight against Ticketmaster. It was very entertaining. Also, thanks to the beautiful actress Kristen Bell who stiffed us today, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't go see her new film called Fanboys opening up everywhere.
She did the right thing. She's the best. And if she chose to stiff us, that's what should have been done.
Especially with Dave.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, of course.
He's a little scary. Thanks to Tom Beers for joining us, executive producer of 1,000 Ways to Die this Sunday night on the Spike Channel at 10 o'clock, I want to say. And special thanks to Mr. Liam Neeson for joining us. His current film is called Taken in Theaters Everywhere. And, of course, thanks to Christian Bale for taking the time to call in today. And we'll have that complete interview for you this afternoon between 5 and 6 if you missed it first go round.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. We've got K-Rock's World Tour 2009 destination number 3 we're going to announce.
Barcelona! Barcelona!
Thank God, I think that one's over.
We also have a singles party. Let me see if I can find some information on the singles party. No.
We are going to have a singles party next week.
It's next Friday, right?
Yes, it is.
And, although we haven't been given any
information. And the total amount of information that we have to sell is?
It's going
to
be on Friday the 13th.
Next Friday.
We know that for sure.
That's it.
Kevin and Bean's horrible singles party.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh. Start giving away tickets on Monday morning.
Barcelona.
Guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Give me a f***ing answer. What don't you get about it?
Don't bone-guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm not asking, I'm telling you.
Nope.
Roll another one.
No! No!
Just like the other one.
F***'s sake, man, you're amateur.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I want you off the set, you prick.
And I need another hit.
Cat Corbin up next with 40 minutes nonstop. K-Rock, why would you go anywhere else when you can stick around and hear some Shinedown? Also,
nope.
MGMT, Bad Religion, and the Toadies? Yes, the Toadies, all coming up on K-Rock.
Nope.
Roll another one.
Oh, good for you.
Just like the other one.
And how was it?
This one seems to be about.
That's what that is, man. I'm telling you.
I don't have another sense.
Yeah, you might get it. He doesn't get it. You might.
I get it.
He does not get it.
I don't want to guard that joint.
You don't can understand.
Just pass it around.
No! No!
I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
Nope.
Are you doing? Are you professional or not?
It was a bad show. It could have been a good show. It could have been an interesting show. It's just a bad show.
We laughed. We cried. We beatboxed. I hope you enjoyed this crazy ride as much as we have.
Thank you for listening. May God bless our troops.
Now we've reached the end.
All right, you got to be cool and eat fruit.
Of another day.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
They came to party and they were disappointed.
Cut. Print. Gay.
Florida?
Speaking of interviews,
Ralph, was this morning kind of weird on the Kevin and Bean Show, or what?
This is one of those days that kind of makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because usually when I'm sitting in the production office, when you guys are on the air and I'm working on something, and the phone rings, 9 times out of 10, I would say it's Sam the Armenian comedian.
Sure.
Which is a phone call you don't want to take. But the phone rang this morning, and it turned out that Christian Bale had been listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this week while we were talking about his rant from the set of Terminator.
Was he listening when you did your very, very inflammatory voice, your impression of him?
You mean Bean's impression?
Which Bean and I, if I remember correctly, fought tooth and nail to keep off the air.
When Kevin and I were defending him as being a great American,
right.
He's not even American, and you were doing nothing but raining down terror on him because of his bad day. Is that what you're referring to?
No, I think he was listening when you guys threatened my job if I didn't go on the air and do a Christian Bale impression.
Wow.
He said I would be looking for work elsewhere unless I did exactly what you commanded. I think that's when he was listening.
Okay.
And apparently he liked it. He got a laugh out of it, and he decided that it was time for him to go public and finally address what everyone's been listening to all week regarding this rant. And inexplicably, he called us and wanted to come on the air. So when I did my showbiz beat, I went on and surprised you guys by telling you he was on the phone.
Hello there, guys.
Hello, Christian. How are you?
Whoa, how you doing, fellas?
Doing well, sir.
So who am I talking to?
This is Ralph, Kevin, and Bean, and Lisa May's also here in the studio, Christian.
All right. Well, listen, I spoke with you guys a few years back. You seem like good guys. I wanted to talk with you about
Are we being punked
No, you're
here,
not.
Ralph?
This is really Christian Bale.
Like please tell us it's not.
Believe me, this is no punk.
Wow.
Christian has apparently heard some of the segments we've been doing since the release of that audio tape.
And I got to tell you, listen, it has been a miserable week for me.
Sure.
And you guys, I was driving in the car, at least I think it was you guys I was listening to.
Right.
And you made me laugh in the midst of all this, craziness.
I find that hard to believe. Really?
So, listen, I know I have a potty mouth. Everybody knows that now.
Right.
But I understand this is live, so please don't worry. I will behave.
Okay, all
right. Right. Well, we appreciate
if you
that.
Don't, we are done professionally, Christian.
Now listen. So can you let me make a few comments? About
yes,
sure.
We'd love to give you the opportunity. Thank you for calling.
The thing that I really want to stress is I have no confusion whatsoever. I was out of order beyond belief. I was way out of order. I acted like a punk. I regret that, and there is nobody that has heard that tape that is hit harder by it than me.
Yeah.
So I make no excuses for it. It is inexcusable, and I hope that is absolutely clear, you know? One thing that has really disturbed me throughout this, I'm not familiar. I'm not comfortable yet with this notion of being a movie star. I'm an actor. And I don't quite know how to handle the movie star thing. And the thing that disturbs me so much is that I've heard a lot of people saying that I seem to think I'm better than anybody else. And nothing could be farther from the truth. I am a lucky, I don't want to swear, I'm a lucky
SOB, right?
What I do, I never forget that. And that is why I put so much into what I do and why I care so much about it and why sometimes that enthusiasm just goes awry, you know? And please, if anybody ever sees that I really am thinking that I'm better than anybody else, stick a fork in my backside,
yes.
Turn me over, I will be done. That is not me, you know?
Well, I got to tell you, we were giving you points for the length of the conversation because I would have run out of energy at about 30 seconds.
Absolutely. Listen, and let me tell you how I had that much energy for that day.
Please.
Let me try to put this into a little bit of context, because there seem to be so many people who are given opinions about this, but you know what? None of them were there.
Yeah.
Now, so we're making Terminator. I'm assuming you're familiar with the mythology.
Of course.
Have you seen T2?
Yes.
It is a great movie. And in it, you will meet Sarah Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in an insane asylum. Why is she there? Because she is crazy. Now, I played John Connor, her son. And on the day that all of this happened, the scene that we were doing, I was trying to show a little of that in the blood craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It went very wrong. And for reasons that myself...
And Shane, the DP, and every crew member who was in that hangar at Kirtland Air Force Base that day, they know the reasons. I got annoyed, and then what happened, I made it ugly. And that was awful of me. I took it way too far, and I completely mixed up fact and fiction. I'm half John Connor, I'm half Christian there, and we've all heard.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right,
what
right.
You know, Christian, the thing I felt bad about when I heard this, regardless of your personal behavior, was that I think that on a set or any sort of creative enterprise, there should be a certain amount of freedom to screw up and do what you do without having to face it being made public and then having to deal with it in the press. That must be awfully difficult.
I hear you completely, but it's no excuse, because you know what? That confidentiality, that trust, is really not there for covering up bad behavior.
Right.
That is there, and it is essential. That is there, though, so that creatively you can experiment and you can try things that maybe are abysmal and
right.
maybe are embarrassing beyond belief, and you know, and there's a trust with the director and the producers that nobody will ever see that. Mm-hmm. It will be destroyed if it didn't work. But you have to mm-hmm. try those things.
How long ago did this actually happen, and how long after?
This was back in July of last year.
July of last year, okay. And how long was it before you've talked to the DP now?
Listen. I've not only talked with him. We have resolved this completely. That very day,
oh, wow.
we kept working for a number of hours. Listen, when I'm saying I'm not coming back on that set if he's still hired, you know what? It's hot air. I don't yeah. believe that.
Right.
I have no intention of getting anybody fired. I absolutely believe in Shane's capability. He's done a wonderful job on that movie. We not only kept working that day, we worked together for at least a month after that, every single day. We saw each other 2 weeks back, and we worked together then. Everything is resolved between us. There is no problem whatsoever.
Is it weird?
Done a great job with it, and I really want through this that in case anybody has considered he's not doing a great job, I want everyone to know. I've seen a rough cut of the movie. It looks fantastic, and he has done a wonderful professional job. And I don't want anyone to have a misunderstanding about that.
I am really looking forward to this movie. It does look fantastic.
I appreciate that, because so many people, not just me, not just Shane, so many crew members have worked so hard on this movie. And a really important point that I want to make is that, hey, I know a number of people are going to be thinking they don't want to go see the movie because they think I'm some kind of prima donna or something.
Right.
It ain't that. It's just maybe sometimes I care too much about the movie. But, you know, it wasn't just me. It was Shane, the DP, the director, the other actors. Every single crew member worked so hard on this movie. And please, I'm asking people, please do not allow my one-time lapse in judgment, my incredibly embarrassing meltdown, to overshadow this movie and to have all of those people's hard work go to waste. It is just too great a mythology. So please, I just want to make completely clear, I am embarrassed by it, and I regret it, and I ask everybody to sit down and ask themselves, have they ever had a bad day?
Yeah.
And have they ever lost their temper and really regretted it immensely?
Yeah, we have a special appreciation for mistakes that we make, and then they come back to haunt us on tape and get played over and over again. That really sucks. And we were saying at the time, I'm sure you heard me say this, Christian Bale, that it's a good thing all of us don't have our worst moments taped and, you know, put out there for everyone to hear, because that would be embarrassing for us.
I yell at Kevin and Bean like you did every day.
Yep,
Christian, that's what it is.
That happens.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just nobody else hears it.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly.
You're a big man for owning up to your mistake, and I hope that a lot of people listening will hear the perspective that you put it in and accept your apology and continue to support the great work that you do up there on the screen. Christian Bale, thanks for calling in today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you very much, man.
Thanks very much.
Adios.
See you. Bye. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco Tardo
hey!
Show.
What? Cinco de la Tarde.
Oh, Cinco de la Tarde, yes.
Congratulations to Blake DeWitt from Los Angeles. Just picked up our final pair of tickets for the week to be in the audience at Staples Center this Sunday night for the Grammys. Don't miss the big show.
Hey, Ralph, song's over.
This Sunday night at 8 o'clock on CBS. Hey, Ralph, Grandma, what's going on for Friday afternoon? You got the showbiz beat for us?
I do. Talk to Christian Bale.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
That happened. Cool.
That happened
on the radio.
That was a little freaky.
It's changed my perspective on entertainment in general. Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I feel bad about the industry and entertainment in America in general, and I start to feel disheartened. And then something good happens, and it makes me take a completely different take on things. Turned me around 180 degrees today.
I do feel differently about Mr. Bale hearing what I believe to be a very sincere apology and an explanation that is that made sense, that was reasonable, about a guy having a bad day and not making excuses for it.
I'm bringing you all positive showbiz stories in the showbiz beat.
Well, that's not going to be any fun.
It sure is. That's my new take.
Well, that's a terrible take.
It's a good take because there's a lot to love in the world, man.
Well, we can't wallow around in the mud, then.
It's a beautiful place.
All right.
Optimism.
We've been saying that our whole lives.
What a wonderful world. That's my new take. Can we play underneath the showbiz now?
No.
This music? Can we play Louis Armstrong?
Don't have that. Don't have that standing by.
I see fields of green, red roses too.
How are you going to find that much good news, Ralph? That's my question.
How about Simon Cowell? He's a prick, right?
Yes.
Everyone hates him, right?
Yes. Sure.
Right. Wrong.
Not everyone hates him?
You know Fantasia Barrino?
Yes.
Big.
American Idol winner?
Uh-huh. Which season did she win? Last season?
Season two, I think.
Season two.
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right.
She had some success after that. She went on Broadway with The Color Purple and had an album that did okay, but not terrific.
Okay.
But she's been struggling, had some real money problems.
And almost lost her house, right?
Yeah. Her mansion was due to be auctioned off on January the 12th by local officials because she could no longer carry the mortgage on her home. She's going to lose her home. She's going to have to rent an apartment or live with family. Guess who stepped in and paid off her debt?
Paula.
No way.
Simon Cowell.
No.
Yes. According to the National Enquirer, it was Cowell who stepped in to provide a short-term solution to Fantasia's money problems. Very quietly, Simon promised to help Fantasia take care of some of the back payments she owed on the house so it wouldn't go on the block, so she wouldn't be foreclosed upon.
Wow.
No.
How about that?
I think that's very kind of him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy now.
He's not a nice man, though.
He is. He is a nice man.
No.
Nice man, too.
The world is a better place because Simon's in it.
No! No!
You know, actress Taylor Momsen from Gossip Girl?
Oh. Yeah.
This girl's trouble. She is trouble. She's 15 years old.
Yep.
She's hanging out with a bad crowd. She's partying with people well beyond her years. No good can come from this situation. I want her to get some help.
Okay.
Because apparently she was at a party in New York, this according to the New York Post, and she was the youngest guest there. The person who was at the party tells the Post, and she kept going up to people, telling them why she wasn't drinking. And no, it wasn't because she's 15. She's saying, "I'm not drinking because I'm on really heavy doses of Percocet."
Were people asking her?
Nope.
She was
sort of volunteering that information.
Drinking?
Yeah.
Was this a Roman Polanski party, or who's throwing a party like this?
I have no
underage
idea.
Girls on drugs.
According to the story, it was just a party on the Upper East Side in New York City, and she was talking about how the fact that she wasn't drinking because she was on a lot of Percocet.
That's odd.
This situation is guaranteed to end in pregnancy.
And so that concerns me, and I'm worried for her well-being.
Nope.
I am.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus's days on Hannah Montana may be numbered, but Mom and Dad are already developing a replacement. Apparently, the Cyruses just had kids to get them into show business.
Yeah, assembly line.
She's got a baby sister named Noah.
Sister named Noah.
I didn't know that.
There's another one?
There's another Cyrus.
Huh.
And word is that Billy Ray and his wife have already taken little Noah into audition for the bigwigs at Disney, hoping they can develop a new TV show for Noah.
I've heard that the girl's name is Noah. That's not possible, right?
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
I heard that, too. Yeah, Miley, came from me.
Miley's older brother's the lead singer of the band Metro Station.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
That is true.
So they are building an Osmond-like empire for the Cyruses.
Yeah.
That boy's name? Cynthia.
That is odd.
Really bizarre.
And I thought it was Rita. Miley's moving out. Noah will be moving in, and they will continue to have a Cyrus in production for many, many years to come. They got to start making more babies.
Yeah.
Because by the time Noah's show goes into syndication, they're going to need a brand new show on Disney.
Don't they have all the money they could possibly hope for from his career and her career and everything else?
Oh, Kevin.
Really?
Haven't we learned anything? That there's never enough money.
We learned that a girl's named Noah in their family.
Sean Stewart, remember him from Celebrity Rehab?
Ah, yes.
He is currently pimping his own reality show. He would like to be star of his own reality series.
Yeah.
No, I'd be against that.
The son of singer Rod Stewart has signed on, apparently, to star in a reality show where cameras will follow him in his attempts to launch his own fashion line.
Nope.
That sounds riveting.
He's not a likable guy.
A whiny baby?
You see him
baby?
On Celebrity Rehab?
Yes. I did.
He's just a... When you take alcohol and drugs away from most people, their real personality comes through. Not a positive in his particular instance.
Good point.
Not a positive at all. You don't want to see who he really is because he's a dick.
Yeah. Now you know why he was using. Made him tolerable.
I hope that show does not happen.
Yeah, I hope not too. I think that's the last thing any of us want.
Yeah. Sean, what would happen if I roughed you up? If I came over and just roughed you up, Sean?
If you roughed me up, I'd tell you, touch me again, I'm calling the cops, Holmes.
There'd be a lot of that in the reality.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
And more reality show news. Angie Everhart has announced she is currently shopping around an idea for her own reality show. You know, she is pregnant. The father is not in the picture because they are not a couple. Apparently, he was simply a donator.
Mm-hmm. Is there a list for that?
Yeah, I don't know how I got passed over. I would think I would put my name at the top of the list there. She is shopping a reality show to networks that will chronicle her journey as a single, strong, healthy, good-spirited woman having a baby all on her own.
Oh, man, sweet. I got to check it out.
Yeah. So,
that sounds like a bad idea.
Everhart series. Wouldn't you watch?
No.
Nope.
I really wouldn't, I don't think.
Tom Cruise says he is amazed at how his baby daughter, Suri, has become a fashion icon.
You know, she's not going out and shopping by herself.
The two-year-old.
Come on.
They dress her up in $10,000 outfits, and then they're surprised that people are impressed with the clothes she wears?
The two-year-old is often photoed wearing... You know, high-end clothing. And Tom says it's flattering how everyone wants to copy her sense of style.
Oh, dear God.
Wow.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Life is good. That's all I'm saying. Life is good.
I'm wondering, what are you talking about?
And lastly, the battle between Etta James and Beyonce is apparently over. New York Daily News reports that Etta James has apologized for threatening to whip Beyonce's ass on stage the other night in Seattle.
Nope.
She said she was just kidding. She was just kidding when she said that.
Yeah.
However, she did feel left out of the inauguration festivities when Beyonce was chosen to sing the song At Last, the song that she made famous. But she said regarding the threat to Beyonce, she was just fooling around.
She wouldn't beat her ass?
She would not beat her
ass.
Well,
then, that's 70, not as good a story.
At 70, the former heroin addict, I don't believe, has beaten anybody's ass. She's chasing the dragon, but not beating the ass. That's what I'm saying.
Allegedly.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Whoa. Boy, it's a long week.
That was a combination of NBC and news in one word.
Noob.
Noobs.
I like it.
NBC News anchorman Tom Brokaw, 69 years old today. Actor-director Robert Townsend. Remember him from the Harlem Shuffle? The Hollywood,
nope.
The Hollywood Shuffle? The Curly Shuffle?
Wow.
He directed a movie called Shuffle.
I got you.
Okay. With Shuffle in the title.
I think it was the Hollywood Shuffle. I think that's it.
He is 52 years old today. Vocalist Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses celebrates his 47th birthday today. And singer Rick Astley celebrates his 43rd birthday. You've just been Rickrolled. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank God it's Friday. Kevin, how's Monday morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show looking?
Monday morning, we're going to talk to people who've been on TV Judge shows. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there are 75 TV Judge shows on the air at all times.
Yeah. It is insane.
It's Joe time, I hear.
Now,
Judge Joe Brown.
These people who go on these shows, it's kind of a cheap arbitration for them. They basically are saving themselves the expense of going into real court, and they both agree to abide by whatever that judge
right.
decides.
And
right?
It's always nonsense. It's like, she looked at me wrong. I want $10.
And I think it works out for the defendant, too, because if they lose the case, I believe the production company pays whatever the plaintiff is suing.
No kidding.
Oh, that makes sense.
So it behooves the defendants to go on these shows, too.
We also have a recap of the Grammys, which are Sunday night. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We're going to have Andy Samberg on the program on Monday.
Wow.
We're going to start giving away tickets to our singles party, which is next Friday that we know nothing about.
Friday the 13th. I know that.
Monday morning, we'll start giving away tickets. And K-Rock's World Tour 2009, destination number 3. Details at 7:15.
Don't go away, though. McCabe, apparently, whoever the hell that is, is up next with 60 minutes of commercial-free nonstop K-Rock music, including some Incubus, also Linkin Park. We got Weezer, Alice in Chains, MGMT, and more next right here on K-Rock.